Okay, if I can have your attention, it is 9:02. A quorum is now here with the Dallas City Council. I'd like to say good morning and welcome to today's council meeting. It's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Gerard Kahan of the Dallas AMC. The AMC is a dynamic, fast-growing international revival movement within Islam, founded in 1989. The AMC funds over 195 countries. It is my pleasure to welcome to the microphone this morning Dr. Gerard Kahan. Doctor, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Honorable Mayor of Dallas and the City Council members, I'm here to thank you all on behalf of Ahmadiyya Muslim Community Dallas for your kind invitation to join with you for invocation today. I'll start my prayer with the opening chapter of the Holy Quran called Surah Fatiha, which is the best prayer of all time. It goes, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Translation. In the name of God, the gracious, the merciful. All praise belongs to God, Lord of all the world, the gracious, the merciful, Master of the Day of Judgment. Thee alone do we worship, and Thee alone do we implore for help. Guide us in the right path, the path of those on whom Thou hast bestowed Thy blessings, those who have not incurred Thy displeasure, and those who have not gone astray. Please join me in prayer for Honorable Mayor of Dallas, Mr. Dwayne Carraway, and all the Honorable City Council members and the staff, and all those who are working day and night to make Dallas a better place for us and our families to live and work here. God has taught us in the Holy Quran, Our Lord, grant us good in this world as well as good in the world to come, and protect us from the torment of fire. And I also pray that our Lord do not punish us if we forget or fall into error. Our Lord, lay us not on any responsibility as you did upon those before us that we may not fulfill. Our Lord, burden us not with that what we have not strength to bear, and efface our sins, and grant us in forgiveness, and have mercy on us all. Thou art our Master. Ameen. Thank you for giving another kind invitation to us. May God bless us all. Ameen.
Thank you. Ms. Hunt, would you kindly lead us in our Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes, sir. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, and indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Madam Secretary, before we move into our open microphone speakers, I'd like to give a shout-out. I'm going to be giving a few shout-outs around here. Rhonda Waits in our City Secretary's office, and Benny Wilcox of our CIS department. They're both retiring. Rhonda is retiring after 27 years. Her last day will be March 14th. Benny Wilcox will be retiring after 12 years. So I want to send an official shout out to both Rhonda Waits and to Benny Wilcox. At this time, Madam Secretary, would you proceed with our morning speakers?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good morning. We have several speakers this morning that have signed up to speak. Richard Sheridan, Charles Lingofield, Martha H. Du Bois, Raymond Crawford, and Myron Young. While Mr. Sheridan is coming forward, let me recite the rules for speaking. Citizens and other visitors attending city council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the city council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council, or while attending the city council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer. And the person shall be barred from further audience before the city council during that session of the city council. You have 3 minutes to speak. You will see an amber light, which means you have 30 seconds, and the red light means stop. And state your name and address for the record.
And Mr. Sheridan, before you speak, and this is not directed to you, but this is a message from me, the mayor, to all speakers. I would ask for all speakers to address me, the chair, the mayor, and not to the individual council members and colleagues here around the horseshoe. I would ask you to do that, abide and go by the rules that have been read. And this is not going to be something I'm going to say every day. I just want to make sure that I put it out for the day speakers, the afternoon speakers. You'll have your 3 minutes to speak. You can say the things that you need to say, and they can be directed, of course, to me, through me to our council colleagues. But I will not be, and again, it's not you, Richard, I will not sit here and tolerate any outburst or anything. Not 15 seconds. We're going to conduct these meetings and move forward. We're going to hear your concerns. We're going to address them and deal with them, and you have the right to express them. But it's going to be in accord with order here at Dallas City Council. Mr. Rich Sheridan.
Absolutely, Mayor, and I appreciate that. Free speech does have its consequences. There's no question about that. And speakers need to be held accountable for actions that are uncivil in a public setting.
Okay.
For sure. So, good morning. I appreciate being here. My name is Richard Sheridan. I live at 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas, District 13. I'm here to speak about racism, the homeless, and the Trinity River Project. I have appeared many times before the City Council over the past 8 years. I have been arrested and banned from this building for a month because of my attempts to share some very important information about the homeless with the City Council and with my fellow Dallas citizens. I have lived in Dallas for 14 years and the Metroplex area in total for 30 years. If you can't tell, I'm from New York. I have picked up my cross. I came here in 81 following my dream, which became a nightmare. Things are a lot better now. I have picked up my cross and I am following him. One could say that I have benefited from suffering over 25 years ago what many are suffering today. Loss of job, divorce, eviction, family dysfunction, separation, suffering and disgrace, to be able to help those suffering today. When New York was first founded, the settlers soon had conflicts with the Native American population, genociding them either because they wouldn't pay taxes or because the Europeans wanted their land. New York then became the major slave trade port in the colonies in the 1700s. Over a 400-year period, New York experienced all of the major sociological battles and revolutions, from the American Revolution to anti-slavery battles, to labor-industrial revolution battles, to the women's voting rights movement, to two world wars, to the Great Depression, to gay and women's rights, to 9/11, and lastly, to the destruction of the United States economy by Wall Street, that wicked area of Lucifer's liabilities. This is my heritage, the culture I come from. Racism is the fundamental cause of all man's suffering. Racism, by definition, means the rule or the attempt of one race to rule another race using differences between the races as a justification. The truly odd aspect of racism is that it's promoted by significant populations of all religions that profess to be godly people. The pyramid gives us a good understanding of racism. There's a ruling race on the top, and then an increasing number of races as you go down the pyramid until we get to the virtual complete slave races on the bottom. These are the poorest nations. The industrialized nations and second and third world nations status follow this pattern. Finishing up, you'll have a complete copy. With racism gone, with John Wiley Price gone, Dallas's Pied Piper of racism, excuse me, we will feed the poor and provide shelter to all the homeless, helping them transition back to society. We will remove 2,200 mentally ill homeless from our jails. And we will come together as a Trinity City to bring good government, good business, and good citizens to our city. God bless us this day. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sheridan. Madam Secretary.
Our next speaker is Charles Lingerfield. Mr. Lingerfield.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Charles Lingerfelt. My purpose for meeting with you this morning is to share some of my thoughts with you about fair and honest elections. Although I am a precinct chair with a local political party and have served for many years as poll watcher, elections clerk, elections judge, and candidate, I prefer to speak with you this morning as a citizen. We all know of the unfortunate events at our local county elections department and of the misgivings and misunderstandings surrounding such. It has received widespread and national attention, some of which we don't deserve or particularly need at this time. However, it has presented us with some challenges locally, both temporarily and long-term. For many years now, our county elections department has been noted for having one of the best-run departments in the nation. Smart, intelligent, and wise attendants have been at the helm and have performed quite well in running smooth elections with minimal problems. However, that might not be the case in the not-too-distant future if personnel at all levels in the county do not take care and caution to guarantee fair and honest elections for the citizens of this city and this county. For many years, America has been known as the beacon on the hill when it comes to freedom and liberty. And an important component in that experience has been the right to vote. We have had that freedom to cast our ballots for almost as long as we've been a nation. Although it has not been perfect, and I might add, nothing is, we yet have held dear to our hearts the freedom and the right to cast our ballot for whomever we have chosen. Much blood has been shed for us to be guaranteed the freedom we enjoy. For us to continue to enjoy the freedom of fair and honest elections, we must be shown that we yet still have integrity at the polls. That won't happen if a Chicago-style election is allowed here in Dallas County. The people of this city and this county want to feel that we are in charge of our own election process. We sincerely want to know that we have the dignity of knowing that our vote counts and that it is not lost somehow in the process. And we want to have the assurance of knowing that it counts for the person we actually voted for. Perhaps nothing is more damaging to a democracy or more demeaning to a republic as a fraud that would be propagated at a voting location. I am here today asking you to do everything within your power and sphere of authority to defend fair and honest elections. Your help is needed. Without preference or prejudice to anyone, without fear or favor toward anyone, and with caution as toward everyone, we cannot and we will not stand by idly while our truest and most cherished freedoms are bruised, abused, or fraudulently misused.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lingerfield. Madam Secretary.
Our next speaker is Martha DeBoer, followed by Raymond Crawford. Mr. Boyce? Raymond Crawford?
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. My name is Raymond Crawford, 2647 Southwood Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75233. And I want to come this morning to ask about the gas drilling task force. It's been 3 months since members of the city council promised that there would be a task force to review and rewrite the city's ordinance governing gas drilling and development. It's been 2 months since our group submitted a proposal to establish such a task force. And it's been 2 weeks since Council Member Hunt submitted her proposal on establishing this task force for the same purpose. Yet so far, not much has been done, and citizens are growing a little anxious. So today our groups are unanimously endorsing the approach outlined by Ms. Hunt in her February 24th memo. And so we'd like to ask the council, do you support the task force? And if not, why not? We need good public policy to guide how Dallas can best respond to new environmental and health threats. We urge you to publicly endorse Councilmember Hunt's proposal for a gas ordinance task force and work toward its establishment by no later than the end of this month. And I have a few more comments, but I was fortunate to, because of time constraints, I can't read them all. It's in today's Dallas Morning News. Okay. And that's all right.
All right.
Thank you very
much. Thank you. Still very kind.
Mm-hmm. Madam Secretary.
Mr. Mayor, our final speaker this morning is Myron Young.
My name is Myron Young. I'm from 1322 Alaska Avenue. The person that represents me is the mayor, Dwayne Carraway.
Speak up just a little bit, Mr. Young. Speaking to the mic. There you go.
Oh, okay. I've had a problem with the Dallas Police Department, and nothing has been done. Chief Scott called me a drug dealer. My home has been broken into, cars burglarized. They come out there and nothing happens. I've called City Hall, and they came yesterday, but they also brought some mental health people to get me to sign myself in. There's something wrong with the city that's growing, that isn't racially divided. There's something wrong when you have a police department that's supposed to protect and serve, but carries out their own justices. They answer to no one. The reason I came today is I wanted you to know that it's important, because when you were elected, you say you would cover your area. I mean, I brought this problem to you. You said we would take care of it. And the next day, you didn't even speak to me. My problem is, it's not going to go away. I'd just like to get some answers. And I'd like to find out that as a citizen, an upstanding citizen, when you have a problem with the Dallas Police Department, internal affairs, do nothing about it, what's the next step? What do you do? When you call City Hall and nobody answers their phone, what do you do? That's why I'm here.
I'm just letting you continue. You finished?
I am.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to step over and make sure that I get all the information, and then I will call you today myself personally. Okay?
Mr. Mayor, that's all of the speakers this morning.
All right, thank you, Madam Secretary. Council, we have, let's first go to our approval of our February 23rd minutes, if I can get a... So moved. Is there a second? All in favor? Any opposed? All right. On our agenda today, the items that have been pulled...
They took off item number 2, Mr. Mayor.
They took off item number 2?
And addendum item number 2 has been deleted, I understand. And addendum item number 9 is Councilmember Hosso, not Councilmember Atkins.
All right, so Councilmember Hosso is pulling
addendum item
number 9.
Yes, sir.
And Councilmember Atkins is pulling the zoning 46. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes.
Are those the only two? All right, now, Council, items number 37 through 41 will need to have 2 seconds. Items number 37, 38, 39, 40, and 41 will need 2 seconds addendum, a regular agenda. Items number 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20 will need 2 seconds. On items number 50 and 49, it will need 2 seconds, but on 49, it will require a three-quarter vote. Item number 47 will require a three-quarter vote, and items number 43 will also require a three-quarter vote. Am I correct, Madam Secretary?
You're correct, Mr. Mayor. Those are the zoning cases that will be heard after 1:30 when we come back in.
All right. So now, if I could get a motion withstanding that on the consent agenda.
And the addendum.
And the addendum.
Yes, sir.
Move approval and second. All in favor? Any opposed? All right. Yeah. Madam Secretary?
Mr. Mayor, we have only one item then at this time on the consent agenda that has been pulled, and that's addendum item number 9.
All right.
Addendum item number 9 is to ratify emergency work performed on an existing service contract with Young General Contractor Incorporated for additional hydro mulch and lime stabilization located within a specific buffer area along the Trinity River levee system. Councilmember Atkins.
Ms. Hossle. Ms. Hossle, please.
You're correct. Ms. Hossle.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to say that we went over this item in committee yesterday, and it was discussed. I did have a couple of questions afterward, Dave, so I'd like to call Jill Jordan up. And this is really primarily for the record. Jill, would you explain why we had to add the lime stabilization and what sort of impact that might create in the future with stabilizing the levees, which is the most important thing out of the Trinity River project?
Yeah, lime, we have been using lime when we repair a levee slide because the lime helps control the moisture so that the soil doesn't shrink and swell, and it kind of helps the strength, if you will, of the side slopes of the levee. So when we got into this and we ended up having to excavate sections of the levee out, and so we needed to add lime back in to fix then these holes that we had created.
Right.
And so we ended up using more lime than what we had thought. Now, the other thing that's happening with the Corps is that as they are looking to design the new levees along Lamar in particular, they're looking at adding more lime into the levees to make the side slopes better and so that we don't have those kind of slides.
And again, I think my concern here was that we were asked to remove the trees down to the root.
Yeah, they originally had wanted, I told you yesterday, a quarter inch, but a half inch is what they had said. And when they got in there, about that much, and they found that the roots were really going deep into the levee and along the levee, and we were ending up taking more sections of levee out. And they ended up making a field decision that we would go to 1 inch roots as a result.
And again, do we have the cost on this? Was how much?
We ended up basically spending $1 million.
Okay. And that $1 million was spent based on the request by the Corps of Engineers to remove tree roots. When they found that it was much more than they anticipated, they
right.
changed the size of the root that we had to remove.
Right.
And in that removal process, the soil became less strong,
well,
and we had to add lime in.
Right. It wasn't that during the process the soil became less strong, but we ended up disturbing a larger area of the levee, and so we needed more lime, and then we needed more hydromulch to reestablish the grass on the levee. And so those quantities just grew tremendously.
Once again, colleagues, it's a concern of mine that you know, we're going along this process and we're still being at, and there's not good information enough for the Corps to give us these things to do or these tasks, and we get into the levees and start to destabilize them. And so I just want to go on record that we did do what the Corps of Engineers asked. Originally the ask was hurting the stabilization of the levees, so they had to go back. And I'd like to go on record that we're spending $1 million to stabilize what the Corps of Engineers asked us to do. Thank you, Jill. Again, you know, the levees are the biggest part of the Trinity River project, and you know, I know Dave has worked very hard on this, and you know, once again, I'm just very concerned that you know, we're at this point again.
Well,
so thank you, Mayor.
And for the record, we got the levees all put back, and so they're stable again, and are protecting us. So they're doing what they need to be doing now.
All right, thank you, Ms. Hossel. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you. Jill, on this particular agenda item, you said we fixed the problem. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay. And is this agenda item that we're asking to approve today is for the purpose of what?
Well, we had a contract for this tree removal, and when we ended up working in a far bigger area than what we thought, we did not have sufficient money in the contract to pay the contractor for all of the lime and hydro mulch that ended up getting used.
Okay.
And because it was so critical, because we can't let this, we can't let the levees, you know, be unprotected, we went ahead and authorized the contractor to finish the work. And so what we are doing today is ratifying that decision. And so it was this is ratifying an emergency decision that we made because we did not want to leave the levees with, you know, kind of these holes and kind of scooped out areas, scraped up areas. It's not holes in the levee, but scooped out.
Now, which area, I was reading the background, which area were the trees disturbed? Was any done?
There were basically seven groves of trees along the levees in different locations.
Okay.
Were removed.
Okay, and so were any, so it was kind of done around?
It was kind of scattered around. It's, Kelly, you want to, the upper west levee in particular.
Can you just tell me just directly?
Yes, ma'am. We did tree removal on both the east and the west levees, and I think we did some at Rochester Park, very few at Rochester Park, but the majority of these trees, I would say, are probably on the west levee and the upper west, kind of West Lawn, things north of West Lawn on the west levee.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Jill, the good news here, first of all, I share Ms. Hossel's concern about the seemingly endless amount of requirements that come from the Corps of Engineers, and I share Ms. Hossel and the full council's concern. No question, the number one priority of our Trinity River Corridor project is flood protection. No question. And I'm absolutely confident we will get the levees recertified, that we'll get a plan in place of what I call a satisfactory solution here in short order, and avoid the FEMA remapping. But what I want to zero, so thank you, Ms. Hossel, I appreciate your stated public concern. What I want to zero in on, Jill, is the win that the city had. Originally, what was the requirement that the Corps of Engineers wanted for us as tree removal in the levee?
Well, the original requirement was the half inch, but they wanted
50 feet.
Right.
Well, let's go ahead and clarify that.
Well, it was 50 feet? Right, 50 feet. And so we ended up working with the Corps because the national standard is 15 feet. And we got clarification from the Fort Worth District it would be 15 feet. Otherwise, we would have been removing thousands of trees.
Yes, so that's a very important point. We stood our ground, City of Dallas stood our ground and said, hey, we have to committed to strengthening the levees, getting the levees recertified and so forth, but the Corps' initial request to do a 50 feet by 0 feet clearance would have been dramatic, would have been catastrophic. So I'm very pleased that we stood our ground and we came to an agreement with the Corps at only a 15 feet clearance. With that, Mr. Mayor, I do move approval on that.
Second. As we move in second. Mr. Salazar, please.
Thank you. I'll be very brief. I don't have a problem with the Corps making requirements of things to do based on study because that's their job. And I think that our staff has done wonders to comply with the many items that we've covered through our Trinity River Committee and looking at the progress. With the completion of this part, where does that put us in comparison to the overall list that we were given about a little over a year ago as far as assuring that the city meets all its requirements for the specifications for to maintain our levees at a 100-year flood stage?
Well, they gave us a list of about 198 items, and at this point we're down to 193, so okay. Five to go. And of those five, we're not going to be able to complete those until, like, the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge is complete, and, you know, that won't be until this coming fall.
Okay, we're in October, more or less.
Right. So at this point, the Corps knows that we've really done what we can do at this point, and they're pleased with the progress that we've made.
Okay. And, you know, my point is that, you know, we don't argue with the requirement that we have to do things to maintain the safety of the levee. I think our concern has been more on the timing and also the information required so we can be in compliance. I want the residents of West Dallas to know, and also Oak Cliff that are surrounded by the levees and the businesses, that the city is doing everything that's being asked of it by the Corps of Engineers. And what we want to do in coordination with them is make sure we do everything on a timely basis with all the information as soon as possible so that we can make sure that we have the funds, as we are now amending this contract, the funds to cover the work required to make sure that our levees are safe and meet all of the requirements of flood protection as mandated by the Corps of Engineers. So, Jill, thank you and your staff for all the work you've done. It's been an incredible journey for the last year to cover 183 of the 190 projects in such a short time. So I want to thank you and Mr. Newman from your committee for making sure that the council is aware of the progress and that we're all on the same page as far as the information and what we have to do next. Thank you.
All right, thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor? Any opposed? All right. Ms. Coop, if you don't mind, I'm so thrilled when it comes to high school students and there are some folks here from school. Would you please kindly, Ms. Coop?
Well, I hope this is my fellow students from Hillcrest High School. Somebody nod, yes, okay. Just to make sure there wasn't another school that came in. Well, you know, Hillcrest High School, and I could sing you the fight song since I went to school there, but I'll save you, I'll spare you today. The Panthers, mm-hmm. Here we go. Both Mr. Zuchinski and I are former Panthers. They are here in the audience today.
No,
they
right.
are going to take a tour of 311 and 911. I participated in a lot of activities at Hillcrest High School since I've been on the council. I even got to be in the homecoming parade. Yes, it was very exciting. Didn't get to do that when I was in high school. I mean, you know, see the perks of the job. But we have a terrific high school in Hillcrest High School. The president of the school board is actually Ms. Medrano's is related to Ms. Medrano, so we're kind of all in a way kind of related, right, Ms. Medrano?
Yeah.
Hillcrest High School Panthers. We're happy to have you here today. We hope you learn a lot while you're sitting here and looking at the council and kind of contemplating maybe you'll be a future leader on the city council. We hope that'll happen. You really do have a terrific high school. We appreciate you coming down. We know you're going to have a good day today. Is there a leader here that wants to say a word to us? Okay, here we go. Come down to the podium for just a second.
Come down to the podium. Yes, ma'am.
No. These students are between 16 and 18, is my understanding. And I think there are 26 of them. And you've got a terrific principal, too. That is okay. And you've got a terrific principal, too. We had, I participated in the Bring the Students Back to School day when it was this fall, calling students on the phone, you know, to make sure that they come back to school and they enroll so that they can get to graduate. So I appreciated that opportunity too, and knocked on doors, and the principal and I spent the morning together. Can you introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Linda Tunnell, and I am the past president of Rotary Club of Park Cities,
mm-hmm.
and we started the Interact, which is Rotary in high school, about 4 years ago. And we are teaching these kids about service above self, which is Rotary's motto. These kids are aspiring to be community leaders. Many of them are college bound. We have the largest group of kids we've ever had in the meeting. They meet every week. They do lots of service projects, and we think that we're growing our future. So I'd also like to introduce Lee Wagner, who's a past president of Park City's Rotary.
Hey, Lee.
And we have Bill Kelly and Andy Carruthers, who are coming along as chaperones. We have Ann McNutt from Hillcrest High School.
See if I missed.
Oh, and a teacher sponsored David Moyer.
All right.
So I'm also a graduate, did I say that, of Hillcrest, and we're so proud of these kids, and the school has really stepped up, and they're partnering with us, and we're making great things happen. So we so appreciate your having us here today.
Yes, and we love having you here, too. Thank you for what the Rotary Club does.
Yes, we're happy
thank
to
you
do
for
it.
Coming.
All right, thank you. Mr. Allen. I just also want to add, number one, Hillcrest, great high school, no question about it. And thanks to the Rotary Club for what they do and their involvement in it. And I also understand we have a special student all the way from the Philippines. Is Kimberly out here all the way from the, she's from the Philippines? There she is. Wait, stand. So, hey, welcome to the United States. We understand, we appreciate you being here, so I hope you enjoy your day today. Thank you, Ms. Allen. Thank you, Ms. Cooper. Let me just ask the class if all the students would just please stand. All y'all from Hillcrest Panthers. All right, Hillcrest. Now let me give you a mayoral assignment. Okay, we here at the Dallas City Council, we would love for you to take one assignment and bring it back. And you can bring it direct to the mayor's office, and then I'll share it with our colleagues. Go and research the archives and bring us back the old yearbooks when Ms. Coop and Ms. Natinsky were there, so we can have those, okay? Now, that's what we want you all to do, is go get those yearbooks and bring them back to us, okay? And then we'll you know, just do some reminiscing. What? No, that's what I say. Bring us back both for Ms. Coop and Ms. Natinsky. Research them and y'all bring those pictures back. Email them to me, Twitter, whatever you want to do, okay? But look, congratulations. We appreciate having you all here, okay? And thanks to all of the outreach and the students, the sponsors. Thank you all. And
baby pictures on you, so watch it.
You got some baby pictures on
you,
on me? Oh, okay. Well, thank you all. Madam Secretary?
Mr. Mayor, first item on your for individual considerations is item number 33, which is consideration of appointments to board and commissions, and you have only one item to consider at this time related to board and commissions. That's the appointment of the vice chair for the Park and Recreation Board, which is Gabriel Soto, being nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Council Member Tasso, and Council Member Salazar.
Is there a motion? All right, it's been moved to second. All in favor? Any opposed? Madam Secretary?
Item number 34 is an ordinance amending Chapter 59 Dallas Energy Conservation Code of the Dallas City Code as amended, adopted with certain changes, the 2009 edition of the International Energy Conservation Code of the International Code Council Incorporated, regulating the construction, enlargement, alteration, repair, demolition, use, and maintenance of construction work in the city, providing a penalty not to exceed $2,000.
Is there a motion? Is there a motion? Ms. Davis?
I have a question. Mary, can you just give a little about this item? It's from Bruce.
I'm sorry. It's a board commission item, is it not?
It doesn't say. It just says DEV. It doesn't say. It's item 34. We're reading, right?
Item 34 is about Chapter 59 of the Dallas Energy Conservation Code. And a little of the ordinance.
A little history on it?
I'm going to Teresa can do that.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. This is aligning our state ordinances with, or our city ordinances with the new state energy code.
Okay.
It is basically energy conservation measures for building new buildings and significant remodels.
And
it aligns
with these codes periodically. Building codes, fire codes, when there are changes, we align our codes with those changes.
So will this have anything to do with construction as you build a new building or a new house?
Yes, ma'am. Sure does.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is it cost or is it more cost saving?
I think the eventual energy savings for the homeowner probably repay themselves in time.
It may be an expense for the people doing the construction, but these have been passed several years ago,
okay.
So that they're well aware that it's coming, and they're using it in other locations too. So we're a little bit late in making this one aligned. So it's not surprising.
The major changes here are it increases the amount of insulation that have to be in homes. 50% of the bulbs in the homes have to be energy efficient, you know, when the builder finals it out. It eliminates some equipment trade out for different insulation requirements. So it's, you know,
okay.
Energy saving measures.
Steve, did we get the brief on this?
Again, we do this reasonably frequently. We can bring it to somebody if we want to, but these are codes when there's a change in the law that we align our codes with. So you do it, like I said, with reasonable frequency.
Well, I mean, I guess I just have just a small concern because you're now talking about construction costs, building costs. I just wish we would just gotten a small briefing on it through housing. And most likely, you know, we will support it, but just a small briefing on it.
We'll commit to doing that as we move forward.
Okay, then.
And we can come with you. This does, our codes can't be any less stringent than the state codes, and this aligns ours with the state. So it really is kind of just making those two things parallel.
Okay, if we move forward with approval, can we just come back for briefing it through the housing department?
We certainly can, but again, understand we have to at least be the same level as state law.
Understand. Okay. Thank you.
Good point, Ms. Davis. Is there a motion for approval?
All
right. All in favor? Any opposed? Madam Secretary, reading number 35, and then Ms. Coop, I think this may be something of interest to you, Madam Secretary.
Item 35 is a resolution repealing resolution number 071608, previously approved on May 23, 2007, authorizing the city attorney and the city manager to sell the lawsuit style Ash Grove, Texas, LP versus City of Dallas et al. Cause number 3.30HCV02114 in the United States District Court for the Northern District of Texas, establishing a policy to give a preferential bid evaluation of all cement produced by vendors who are in compliance with all applicable environmental standards for the emission of nitrogen oxide and operate cleans with emissions that are a specific amount below the applicable state standard, deleting the phrase depending on the type of the clean operated. That is the correction.
Ms. Coop?
Is that
your request?
No. Let me say a few things and then I'll ask Mr. Sherbeck to say a few words. Colleagues, this is we had a closed session on this last time, and it's the green cement policy, which some of you may not have been here when we enacted that, but the lawsuit that ensued has gone on for a couple of years. And I think our staff, and I just want to applaud our legal staff, and Chris, you and Lim, Chris Swikert, Nicole down in the Office of OEQ, which is the Office of Environmental Quality. There's Chris right there. Jill Jordan, the Assistant City Manager. They really did do a good job in the original negotiations with the cement kilns. And we take it very seriously, air quality, and there will be, as soon as this is determined, better air quality, as I would say, tomorrow than it was yesterday, because we're going to get not only a 10% reduction from a control technology that's going to be put on the wet cement kilns. We'll get it all year long, but also the policy also speaks to the dry cement kilns and a further reduction in the emissions from dry cement kilns as well. And then my friend Jim Schermbeck, who we usually always agree, but just not on some of the mechanics of it. I'm embarrassed even now. Came forward with a terrific idea, and over the last 2 weeks, we've gotten together with staff and the city attorneys and made a proposal that even made the policy even stronger. So I just wanted to thank Jim. He's here today to kind of just tell you just. Jim, in just 1.5 minutes, 2 minutes, just tell us just a little bit about what the final negotiation was and
Actually, I was just here to thank you and the city staff, as well as the city attorney's office, the city manager, the Office of Environmental Quality, for allowing us to participate in what I think was a happier ending than was initially proposed. We're overjoyed at the result. If you hadn't appreciated it before, I hope the last 2 weeks has shown that clean air does have a constituency in Dallas, Texas. I want to thank the cities of Dallas and Arlington for fighting the good fight for 2 or 3 years here against an opponent that had a bottomless bank account. We really appreciate you staying in the fight as long as you did. I'm celebrating an outcome today that was possible only because the city invited citizens in that reached out and took us in and put us at the table and part of the process. And I think the lesson should not be lost as you approach now another environmental controversy, gas drilling, that's overwhelming the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And I know there's a proposal on the table to create a task force, and I just want to say I think it's important to bring citizens in at the front end of that process rather than the back end. Everybody benefits, I think, when you have people at the table that can give you creative solutions, and citizens are a part of that equation. I just urge you to adopt Angela Hunt's proposal for a task force. These threats from gas drilling need to be examined very carefully and very methodically in order to get the right answer and update your ordinance. Thank you so much for sticking with us in this fight. Thank you so much for allowing us to participate in a constructive alternative. We really appreciate being a partner in this process, and we look forward to working with the City of Dallas again to clean up the air in North Texas. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. In the end, we contacted the EPA. There was a suit going on in the northern part of the country, and the settlement of that suit, it had to do with the dry cement kiln. The settlement of that suit was to look at a technology that got 80% cleaner emissions from a cement kiln. And the final result of our negotiations with the cement kilns was that if that proved to be the case, that they would adopt, the wet kilns would adopt that technology. It's called SCR. So that is a few years off, but in the meantime, we will get cleaner air because of the original portion of the negotiations that were adopted or they're going to be adopted today. And I also want to thank the City of Arlington, because the City of Arlington, some of you may not know, but there were lots of emails. They were having their meeting. They always have their meeting on Tuesday. We have our meetings on Wednesday. And they were to vote on the original proposal before we were. And we couldn't quite get through to them on the phone. So there were a lot of messages trying to get through to them to ask them to hold their vote for just a little while we renegotiated. So Mayor Kluck, I don't know if Mayor Kluck is listening today. You've been a great partner, the only partner that stayed with the city. There were six partners in there originally. Catherine Wildman, who is a city council member with the Arlington City Council. I just want to give a shout out to her too, because she did a great deal in the interim period as well. So thank Downwinders for us. There are lots of people to thank, but most of all, thankfully, we're going to get cleaner air tomorrow than we had yesterday. With that, I move approval.
Second. Has been moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Good work, Ms. Coop. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Secretary?
Item number 36 is an ordinance granting a community retail district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property zoned a single-family district on the northeast line of Bunnyview Road, south of Highland Hills Drive.
Mr. Atkins.
Agenda item number 36, Z090145. I move to approve the item.
Second.
Has been moved and second. All in favor?
Any opposed?
All right, Madam Secretary, and let me say 37, and this next set of items will require 2 seconds. Madam Secretary?
Item 37 is authorizing economic development grant agreement pursuant to Chapter 380 of the Texas Local Government Code in accordance with the city's public-private partnership program.
Motion to approve?
Second.
All right, we got 2 seconds. Did you record those two? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Madam Secretary?
Item 38 is authorizing an amendment to the development agreement with Reserve at Stokes Road, LLC, previously approved on August 25, 2010 by resolution numbers 10-2165 and 10-2166 in tax increment financing reinvestment zone 18, which is the Maple Mockingbird TIF district, to extend project deadlines for obtaining number one, a construction permit from December 31st, 2010 to June 30th, 2011. Two, a certificate of acceptance from December 31st, 2011 to June 30th, 2012. And three, an operating and maintenance agreement from December 31st, 2011 to June 30th, 2012, and to allow for additional extensions of project deadlines up to 6 months for good cause and additional consideration, subject to the Maple Mockingbird TIF District Board of Directors approval and final authorization by the Director of the Office of Economic Development.
Is a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
Two seconds. All in favor? Yeah.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Mr. Mayor, that was Judge Hill.
Judge Hill and Mr. Cadane.
Mr. Cadane.
Mr. Cadane. Mr. Cadane and Judge Hill.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Madam Secretary, number 39.
Number 39 is authorizing amendment to the development agreement with Hamilton Atmos LP for the redevelopment of 1900 Jackson Street, 1916 Jackson Street, 301 South Harwood Street, 1915 Wood Street, and 1815 Wood Street. The Atmos complex previously approved on October 22, 2008. By resolution number 082919 and 082920, and the tax increment financing zone number 11, which is the downtown connection TIF district, to number one, develop the Atmos complex in two phases. Two, increase the total number of units from approximately 220 units to a minimum of 87,000 square feet of residential space for phase one and phase two. Three, increase the number of affordable units from 23 units to a minimum of 87,000 square feet of affordable residential space for phase one and a minimum of 46,000 square feet of affordable residential space, approximately 63 units in phase two. Number four, change the deadline to obtain a building permit for the project from April 20th, 2011 to June 1st, 2011 for phase one and June 1st, 2015 for phase two. Five, change the date to obtain a certificate of occupancy for the project from February the 28th, 2013 to February the 28th, 2013. Interesting. For phase one and December 31st, 2016 to phase two. Change TIF funding from a principal of $12,560,401 plus interest for a maximum total incentive not to exceed $23 million. To an amount not to exceed $15 million plus interest for a total incentive not to exceed $23 million for phase one and phase two. Seven, change the due dates for the remaining option fee payments from April the 20th, 2011 to June the 1st, 2011. And eight, change the method of reimbursement to reflect the district increment allocation policy approved by the Downtown Connection TIF District Board of Directors on September the 16th, 2009. Mr. Mayor, I've read it all into the record.
Second. All right, been moved and seconded by Mr. Atkins and Ms. Hill. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Madam Secretary, number 40.
Item number 40, Mr. Mayor, is a resolution declaring the intent of tax increment financing district reinvestment zone number 11, downtown connection TIF, to reimburse Hamilton Atmos LP in amount not to exceed $15 million. Plus interest for a total amount not to exceed $23 million for TIF eligible project costs pursuant to the development agreement with Hamilton Atmos LP.
All right, is there a second? Is there a motion to approve?
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded by Ms. Madonna and Mr. Atkins. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Madam Secretary, number 41.
41 is authorized, number one, a public hearing to be held on April 13, 2011 to receive comments on the City of Dallas proposal to submit an amended application to the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development for a community development block grant section 108 guaranteed loan program loan in the amount of $11,750,000 to fund a loan for Hamilton Atmos LP for development of the Atmos Lofts project for the conversion of three vacant commercial buildings located at 301 South Harwood Street, 1815 Wood Street, and 1915 Wood Street into a mixed-use project including 9,500 square feet of bottom floor retail space, 123 apartment homes above the retail space with 63 apartment units deed restricted for 15 years for affordability to families with incomes of 80% or less of the area median family income as established by HUD, and a parking garage, and to fund site work, housing rehabilitation, and interest reserve. And at the close of the public hearing, two, consideration of an amendment application to HUD for a CDBG Section 108 Guaranteed Loan Program loan for Hamilton Atmos LP in an amount not to exceed $11,750,000.
Mm-hmm. Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Ms. Madrona and Ms. Hill, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Madam Secretary, why don't we go over to item 16 on the addendum?
Item number 16.
And they will, 16 through 20, they too will require 2 seconds.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Item 16 is authorized a public hearing to be held on April 13, 2011 to receive comments concerning the creation of the City of Dallas Reinvestment Zone number 75 located at 3333 Dan Martin Drive, Dallas, Texas, and a proposal hearing consideration of one, an ordinance granting City of Dallas Reinvestment Zone 75, 2, a 90% business personal property tax abatement for 10 years with Dean Foods Company and or its subsidiaries, White Wave Food Company, and 3, a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement pursuant to the Public-Private Partnership Program with Dean Foods Company and or its subsidiary, White Wave Food Company, in an amount not to exceed $250 associated with retaining and expanding the company's operations in Southern Dallas.
All right, $250,000.
Yes. What did that say?
$250.
Oh, I'm sorry. $250,000.
$250,000. Few more zeros. Just add a few more zeros. Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I am going to make a motion to approve us calling the public hearing, but before I do that, I just want to say again, thank you to Dean Foods. This is an $85 million proposed investment in Oak Cliff, 100 new jobs off of West Keith. What a great thing for Oak Cliff. I move approval.
Second. As we move to second, Mr. Cadane and Mr. Allen. All right. Did you want to speak, Ms. Allen, as well? You just doing the second. Okay. Mr. Cadane and Mr. Allen on this side for the second. Are you ready to vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Madam Secretary.
Items 17 and 18 are to be considered to 17, 18, 19, and 20. Item 17 is an ordinance amending the project plan and reinvestment zone financing plan for tax increment finance and reinvestment zone number 14, Skillman Carter TIF. To, number one, modify the TIF project plan budget to reflect economic development grant as an eligible item, and two, authorize an amendment to the ordinance number 26534 previously approved on December 13, 2006 to reflect this modification. And 18 to be considered with 17 is authorized establishment of the City of Dallas Skillman Carter TIF District Grant Plan Program to implement the project plan and reinvestment zone financing plan for the tax increment finance and reinvestment zone number 14, the Skillman Carter, pursuant to Chapter 311 of the Texas Tax Code, to be administered by the City of Dallas. Approval on 17 and 18, Mr. Mayor.
Is there a motion, please?
Second.
All right, it's been moved and second. I think I heard Mr. Atkins and Mr. Salazar. All right. Are all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Madam Secretary?
Mr. Mayor, item number 19 is authorizing a development agreement with Ardelia WGK LLC to dedicate future TIF revenues for an economic development grant and other eligible project costs related to the White Rock Place development located at the southwest corner of Walnut Hill Lane and Ardelia Road and tax increment finance and reinvestment zone number 14, which is the Skillman Carter TIF District, and two, the Skillman Carter TIF District Board of Directors, to dedicate a principal amount not to exceed $1,915,000 plus an additional grant in lieu of interest for a maximum incentive not to exceed $2,372,000 from future Skillman Carter TIF District revenues in accordance with the development grant. And item 20 is a resolution declaring the intent of the tax increment finance and reinvestment zone number 14, the Skillman Carter TIF District, to reinvest Ardelia WGK LLC, a principal amount not to exceed $1,915,000 plus an additional grant in lieu of interest for a maximum incentive not to exceed $2,372,000 for certain TIF eligible project costs related to the White Rock Place development located at the southwest corner of Walnut Hill Lane and Adelia Road in the Skillman Carter TIF District.
Mr. Allen, please.
You bet. Fellow councilmen, this has really been a roller coaster ride for me for the last 3 years. This is a very, very important part of my district, and what we're looking at is an old, dilapidated shopping center, as most of us have a lot of them in our districts and such. So in December 2009, the owners of that shopping center went into default on their loan. Obviously, prior to that, they were short on cash, and that's why it's a dilapidated shopping center. So December of 2009, they go into default, and then in May of last year is when they finally this shopping center went on the market. Our residents out in the area had been hoping and praying to for a residential development of that shopping center. And it when I say a roller coaster ride, because that's exactly what it had been for us, trying to be able to get a residential development to come in and really make a huge, huge change in that. It's been requiring work all up until the midnight hour. I mean, we put in fine touches on it. And I have to just say to the economic development team, what a yeoman's job you guys have done. I'm just so proud to be associated with our economic team, and Carl and his group have just done an outstanding job of being able to work through this. It's going to be a win-win for the district, but also for the city itself. So, and then obviously I have to go out and say thanks to the developers, because they took a big step going out on this. These are hard. You have to swallow kind of hard to make this deal. And they recognized what he was going to do for this community. And I will be always grateful to the developers, because I know what it's going to do. And I know the end result of what that community will look like 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 4 years from now. So, again, big thank you to the developers. With that, I do want to go ahead and move approval of addendum item number 19 with the following revision to Section 8 of the resolution to remove the minimum percentage of residential completion for shared increment eligibility. Section 8 states that upon completion of the project, satisfaction of all project requirements, and subject to the availability of Skillman Corridor TIF funds, the project shall be eligible for total TIF reimbursements in a principal sum not to exceed the $1,915,000 plus the additional grant in lieu of interest for a maximum incentive not to exceed $2,372,000 in accordance with Exhibit C, Skillman Corridor TIF District Increment Allocation Policy. This grant in lieu of interest shall be calculated beginning with the completion and acceptance of the requirement of Section 7. So I move for that.
As we move in second, let me just get one little clarification. You said item number 19. We read item 19 and 20. So maybe does the motion need to restate
the motion to be 19 and 20.
19 and 20. And let me get both of those second again. Ms. Hill and Mr. Newman. Let me just get Ms. Hill, Mr. Newman, and Mr. Cadane. All right? Let's do it that way. That'll keep the peace. All in favor? Any opposed? So moved. I'm sorry. Hold it. One second. Ms. Davis, let me yield back to you, please.
Thank you. Clark, can you come forward, please?
And hold that approval and let's hear Ms. Davis' portion. Clark,
please. And it's a wonderful thing, Mr. Allen. I will be supporting you on your item. Let me say that first. On the other TIFs that's in the southern sector of the city, how are we doing those TIFs for development? Have we put money aside for those particular TIFs that's in the southern sector of our city?
Well, the only way that TIFs generate money is if they generate tax increments.
Understand.
So we can't set aside money unless the increment has been generated.
Well, let me say this. With new development that's going on in the southern sector, can TIF be a part of some of that new development? For example, the Lancaster Quarter, the Bear Street, you have stuff that's happening on 2nd, not on 2nd, on Spring, some new development that's going to be happening around the Martin Luther King Center. How do you get some of the new housing development, even though it's not an economic development project, how do we pull some of that TIF dollars into those projects?
Well, if you have increment available, then the TIF board can make a determination on individual projects,
okay,
as long as there is increment to be able to support them.
And can you get back with me to show me that as well, as far as the dollar is concerned?
Sure.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, and thank you, Ms. Davis. Let me just make sure that we understand that that motion was for 19 and 20. The second came from Mr. Newman, Ms. Hill, and the third was Mr. Cadane. And we've moved it and approved it, and we're now moving on beyond that item. Madam Secretary.
Mr. Mayor, items 10 through 15 are being held until we get a question answered for Councilmember Natinsky.
Okay.
Question, we bring that up later, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, so what we'll do with that, we will hold items 10 through 15. We will bring them back when we reconvene prior to zoning after lunch. We will come back and return to the council at approximately 2 o'clock. We have an 11:30 luncheon with the Trinity Commons Foundation, and we will go to that. The bands will be leaving from L1 at 11:30. Now, what we will also do at this time, we will go into executive session. It is 10:08, March the 9th, 2011. The Dallas City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meeting Act to receive advice from the consultants with the city attorney on the following matters described in today's agenda: legal issues regarding the ordinance relating signs and public properties, legal issues involving a DFW Airport General Counsel position. The estimated time is 10 to 20 minutes. Council will reconvene at 2 o'clock, at 2 o'clock after the luncheon, and the bands will leave from downstairs at 11:30. We're now in executive session in the back.
As a quorum present, it's 2:03. If we get our council members ready, we'll get ready to get started. Madam Secretary, I think we're going to take up and start back from item on agenda item number 10 through 15.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Your election items are on the addendum, items 10 through 15. Mr. Mayor, I'll read them all into the record.
Okay.
An ordinance amending ordinance number 20231 as amended to adopt certain new election precincts. Addendum item 11 is an ordinance ordering a general election to be held in the city of Dallas on Saturday, May 14th, 2011, for the purpose of electing the mayor and 14 members of the city council to represent districts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15
okay.
for the term beginning June 27, 2011. 12 is a resolution authorizing a joint election agreement and election services contract between the City of Dallas, Dallas County, and various other jurisdictions within Dallas, Collin, Denton, and Rockwall counties for the conduct of a joint election to be held on Saturday, May 14, 2011. 13 is a resolution approving the appointment of citizens to serve as judges for the May 14, 2011 joint election and the June 18, 2011 runoff, if necessary. 14 is a resolution authorizing the mayor to appoint an ad hoc city council canvassing committee to review the returns of the May 14, 2011 general election and submit a canvass report to the full city council on Wednesday, May 25, 2011. And item 15 is a resolution appointing a precinct election officer serving in an election precinct as a member of the early voting ballot board for the May 14, 2011 City Council general election. Those right. are your items for consideration.
And we'll vote on these collectively, together?
You can.
All right. We'll take items 10 through 15, if I can get a motion.
No approval. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, Madam Secretary.
Mr. Mayor, at this time we can move over to the zoning agenda.
Okay.
Starting with items 42 through 45 on the zoning consent agenda, and item we have one zoning consent agenda item on the addendum, addendum item number 21.
Okay.
I don't think any items were pulled. No, none were pulled, Mr. Mayor. So I will read items 42 through 45 into the record at this time, sir.
So moved. That's good.
Item 42 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an industrial use for light manufacturing on property zone plan development district number 784, the Trinity River Quarter Special Purpose Committee on the east side of Rock Island Street, north of Sesame Street. Item 43 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting an amendment to the development plan and conditions for plan development district number 315 for many warehouse uses and limited office district uses on the south line of Forest Lane west of Marsh Lane. Item 44 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1692 for bar, lounge, or tavern on property zone plan development district number 269 for the deep Ellum near east side special purpose district on the southwest line of Exposition Avenue west of Perry Avenue. And item 44 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a community retail district on the property zone, a neighborhood office district on the northwest line of Garrett Avenue, northwest of Ross Avenue. And then on your addendum, there was one zoning consent item, which is addendum item 21, which is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting an amendment to the development plan of the plan development district number 518 on the south corner of Oakland Avenue and Maple Avenue.
Right.
Mr. Mayor, I want to make sure that we understand on item number 43,
mm-hmm.
it requires a three-quarters vote. So if the majority of the council members move in favor, then that will satisfy
that would
the three-quarters vote.
All right, council, if we're ready to take up 42, 43, 44, 45, and item 21.
Yes, sir.
If I can get a second?
At this time, we will hear speakers.
Oh, do we have speakers? Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, we have to call for speakers.
Call for speakers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on any of the items that were just read into the record? That's items 42, 43, 44, 45, and on your addendum, item number 21. Is there anyone that would like to speak on any of those items that were just read into the record? Mr. Mayor.
All right. It's been moved.
Second.
And second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, Madam Secretary, that'll take care of 43 with a three-quarter vote as well. Okay?
Sir.
Madam Secretary?
Item number 36, you had a concern about that, Mr. We've already done 36. Item number 36 was approved at the first half of the meeting. You moved approval, Mr. Atkins. Yes, sir.
Yes, we did do item number 36.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Moving on to item number 46, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Item 46 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for Bail Bonds Office on property zoned in Plan Development District number 784, the Trinity River Corridor Special Purpose District at the southwest corner of the Union Boulevard and the Interstate 35 southbound access road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 10 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request. We received 2 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Right. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone that would like to speak in favor of the recommendation of the City Plan Commission?
Good afternoon. Santos Martinez, Manager Jackson, Dallas, Texas, 5202, representing the property owner and the applicant in this case. We've been asked to share with you some notes regarding the development of this property. As you know, in connection to the Trinity Bike and Hike Trails with downtown, we have worked with our client at both corners to provide additional landscaping that, although not required, is subject to this SCP. And in addition, the language in this SCP says it has to be done within the next 3-4 months. It's not something that's down the road 5 years after CO's issued. We're going to look at crepe myrtles, lantana, dwarf mandinas, Texas sage, along Reunion Boulevard. So as you come in on your bike, heading towards the river, you're going to see a lot of color and landscaping that doesn't exist today. Our client in this instance is actually ripping up pavement and concrete to install these landscape items and features. We've worked with staff to come up with a list of landscaping elements that are drought tolerant as well. We believe this is a cornerstone with our hike and bike trail connections with downtown and the Trinity, and that with this plan, it's all right here in this SUP. And so we'll stand for any questions you may have. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Is there anyone else that would like... Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Atkins, please.
Thank you, Mayor. That was my concern, Ms. Madrono. I know this is your district. My concern is we had a great presentation at the hotel about the Trinity Corridor, the Trinity River. My main thing is that they do not have to do landscape. I will make sure you're on record that you are going to do landscape and beautification there, because that is probably one of the routes for the bike trail that way in perspective. So that's my main concern. If Madrono, if you can make sure that they make sure they can do that, they don't have to do that, but I want to make sure in writing they will do that on a timely like manner. With that, I will move approval on those conditions.
I'd like to...
Ms. Madrono.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Atkins, and I agree. They're going to load up on landscaping there. Ordinance does not call for it, but they are going to do that. I know it's the key corner for Riverfront there, for connecting downtown and Riverfront, so I think it's really important. I'd like to just make a friendly amendment to that and do the 3-year with eligibility for automatic renewal for an additional 3 years instead of 2 years if you'll accept that.
Yes, you would close up the hearing there.
Item to approve, yes.
All right, so it's been moved, and you're including in your motion accepting a friendly amendment for the 3 years.
That's correct.
All right, did we get the second?
So, just a point of clarification, okay. Mr. Mayor, it's a 3-year period, and then for an additional 3-year for an automatic renewal.
Okay. All in favor for that motion, let me hear you.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
All right, so moved. So ordered. Thank you.
Item number 47 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting an industrial manufacturing district and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an outside salvage or reclamation use on property zoned in Industrial Research District on the north line of Singleton Boulevard east of Pluto Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 25 notices to property owners within 400 feet of the area of request, received 4 replies in favor, and 10 replies in opposition to the request. Due to the opposition of owners of more than 20% of land within 200 feet, it will require a 3-quarter vote.
At this time, the City Council would like to hear from anyone that is in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission. Anyone that would like to speak that's in favor of the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Mr. Mayor.
All right, Mr. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At this time, I will move to keep the hearing open and to defer this item to our first meeting in April, which is...
9th.
April
9th, isn't it?
April 9th, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes, we'll double check it right now.
Yes, sir.
April 9th?
April 9th.
Yes. And that will give me an opportunity also to meet with traditional members in West Dallas to discuss this item and
April,
to hopefully resolve this by that meeting.
April 13th.
So it's been moved that we hold
this
item and keep it open.
Right.
And until the first meeting in April.
Well, April 13th.
April 13th with a specific date. All right, it's been moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so moved. Madam Secretary.
Mr. Mayor, item number 48 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a neighborhood office district on property zoned a single-family district on the southeast corner of Marine Way and Steelwell Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, within 39 notices, property owners on 300 feet of the area of request, received 10 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
At this time, the council would like to hear from anyone that is in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission. Anyone that would like to speak in favor of the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have met with the applicant and actually some neighbors. I think with the applicant's permission, I'm moving off to defer this to April 13th. I believe they're going to make some changes on the application with respect to using the property, and they are talking to the neighborhood, and I think it's going to be a positive. But I'll move to defer it at this time, and I may take some other action on that date to maybe remand it back to the Plan Commission.
All right. It's been moved and second. All in favor? Any opposed?
Mr. Mayor, note for the record on item number 47, it required a three-quarters vote, which the council did provide.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Madam Secretary, before you read in item 49, is that where we're going now?
Yes, sir.
Let me just take one point of personal privilege before we read that item, Mr. Allen, into the record, and recognize two distinguished ministers that are here with us. Minister and Reverend David Wilson is here, and the Dr. S.C. Nash, and just want to acknowledge your presence in the chamber prior to us reading this, Madam Secretary.
Mr. Mayor, this also requires a three-quarters vote as well as 2 seconds.
Okay.
This is item 49 of the public hearings. Received comments regarding an application for an ordinance granting a planned development district for a fraternal organization and office use on property zoned a single-family district with consideration given to a specific use permit for a fraternal organization on property on the west side of Stokes Road, south of Forest Lane.
Mr. Mayor, within 89 notices, property owners within 500 feet of their request received no replies in favor and 4 replies in opposition. As previously noted, this will require a three-quarter vote due to the opposition of more than 20% of the owners, and also, in addition, a recommendation of denial by the City Planning Commission.
At this time, the council would like to hear from anyone that is in opposition of the recommendation of the City Plan Commission, which is to deny the recommendation, which is to deny. If you come forward now and state your name and your address for the record. Yes, come forward at this time. Yeah, come forward to the mic here. If you're in opposition of the city plan's recommendation, and the city plan's recommendation is denied.
Okay.
Oh, okay. You're okay with that. Okay. Is there anyone that would like to speak to the council regarding the city plan's recommendation to deny, which they are in favor of the recommendation of the city plan's commission to deny? If you'd come forward.
You all could come right on that.
Okay. I got the right word. If you'd come forward and state your name and address for the record. And, Mr. Mayor, the time on this is 3 minutes, sir.
Yeah, 2 minutes.
My name is Linda Moore.
2 minutes.
I live at 8652 Ashcroft in the Stokes Road neighborhood. It's been 6 months since this issue, since the applicant applied, and at no time has there been a meeting between the applicant or the applicant's representative. Many of the things that were stated at the Planning Commission meeting in November turned out to not be accurate. They said the house was vacant. It's been occupied by the youngest son, Richard Brown, since 1999. They said the house could not be sold. Well, there was a full price offer for it. But when they discovered that the person making the offer was the minister of the Cornerstone Baptist Church, they turned it down. That the Cornerstone Baptist Church is in favor of this rezoning application. That has never been the case. That the Cornerstone Baptist Church agreed to let the lodge use their parking lot. That has never been the case. There is overwhelming opposition in this neighborhood to this rezoning application. This is spot zoning for a use that is not compatible with the neighborhood. The groups that are against this, in addition to the Greater Cornerstone Baptist Church, is the Dallas Lutheran School, the New Mount Zion Baptist Church, the condominium residents, and 185 residents of the Stokes Road neighborhood. I would like everyone to stand that is in opposition to this rezoning application. Thank you. So I would encourage the council to deny approval of this rezoning application. And these are all the signatures we've gotten from the neighborhood people.
Just pass them over on here. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Next.
My name is Martha Branham Willis. I live at the home at 8542 Stokes Road, which my husband and I built in 1963. We gave up part of our front yard as well as years of payments to the city for the street to be paved. I've seen many changes. Nothing has upset me like this zoning change issue in our residential neighborhood. The Hillcrest Lodge has never tried to meet with us, even though they've kept saying they would. I've spent 27 years in real estate in Lakewood and in Lake Highlands, and I can assure you this spot zoning would not be happening on any residential street east of Greenville Avenue. And we, my neighbors and I, are going to do everything that we can to keep it from happening on Stokes Road. I love my neighborhood. I love my neighbors.
Thank you so kindly. Next speaker, please.
My name is Miles Schultz. I live at 9121 Pinewood Drive, which is about 500 yards from the subject property. And I've lived in the neighborhood 44 years. First of all, I'd like to thank all of you for listening to our concerns this afternoon, and I think you can see just how concerned the neighborhood is. I think there are four reasons, really, that this rezoning application ought to be denied. First of all, the two major institutions that are closest to it that have taken a stand have come out strongly against it. The Greater Cornerstone Church that has 700 members has come out in opposition to this. The Dallas Lutheran School, which is on the other side of the property and a couple of hundred feet from it, which has 275 students, has written a letter in opposition to the rezoning request. And as the earlier speakers have indicated, many of the neighbors have signed statements indicating that they're opposed to it. Another reason that it ought to be denied is a fraternal use, a lodge use, is just inconsistent with the rest of the neighborhood. It's just inconsistent to put a lodge hall in a single-family neighborhood. Most of the lodge halls that I've seen, and I think if you all will stop to think, that you've seen are either in some kind of commercial neighborhood or in a neighborhood with offices, but not in a neighborhood of single-family residences. Usually, when you have an office use, which is included in as part of this rezoning request, that is inappropriate.
Kind of wrap it up, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so kindly. Next speaker. Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Doris Smith. I live at 9315 Wittenberg Gate, which is in the Stokes Road neighborhood. Along with the concerns of my neighbors, I have one major concern. This is with the rezoning request of the Masonic Lodge Group, which will most likely demolish the current one-story family house and build a two-story structure in the tradition of Masonic lodge buildings. According to the Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, Volume 2, page 538 by Alvin Mackey, which is available online, a Masonic lodge room, quote, should always be placed in an upper story. No lodge should ever be held on the ground floor, unquote. This same source also lists specific measurements and directional orientation of the lodge meeting room. A Google image search of Masonic lodge buildings retrieved an overwhelming majority of photos of two-story lodge buildings. My father was a Mason. He met in a two-story building. The other Masonic lodges in our community were also two-story buildings. I acknowledge that some are one-story, but not very many. This lodge has existed since the 1940s. In the late 40s, they rented a two-story building at 6607 Hillcrest. They used the upper floor as a lodge room while the lower floor was rented. The lodge occupied this building until it was sold in 1995. They bought a building on McKinney Avenue, which was two-story. They occupied the second story, and they rented the lower floor. So it would hold true that they will stick to their tradition, meet on the second floor, and rent out the second floor. So this will greatly change the fabric of our community because other people will also want to buy a house and change the zoning so it will fit whatever business they intend to occupy it for. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Next speaker, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Veronica Smith. I live at 9315 Wittenberg Gate, and I'm in opposition to rezoning the property at 8440 Stokes Road. For some of the same reasons stated by those who went ahead of me. And also, another issue is parking. This property is located near the corner of Forest Lane and Stoltz Road, and there's not adequate parking on the property for its proposed use as regular office space and a location for functions and meetings for at least 15 to 20 individuals. They would most likely end up with overflow parking along the street along Stoltz Road. And the majority of residents in this neighborhood of about 1,200 homes use Stoltz Road as the main access road to get to and from home. And parking along this two-lane street is already something of an issue. When the church next door holds functions, it would be much worse if we now had a facility holding regular functions where its members would have to park along the street on a regular basis. This would be a huge disruption of traffic, again, along the main road that the majority of residents in this neighborhood use to get to and from their homes. And in addition to a potential parking traffic issue, the proposed use is for an exclusive organization that would not be open for use by members of the community. So basically, we're being asked to potentially accept traffic flow disruption for a facility that will not be open to those of us who live in the surrounding community. Currently, this neighborhood is made up of residential homes, churches, and schools that are open to the community. And these institutions also serve to draw potential home buyers to the neighborhood, so it's hard to see what benefits the proposed zoning change would bring to the people that live here. There are other more suitable locations with adequate parking that are not located in the middle of a residential neighborhood that would accommodate the lodge, and they may currently be looking for a better location. And I guess I'm getting the red light, so I urge you to uphold the Planning Commission's recommendation and deny the application. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers?
Good afternoon to the Honorable Mayor, Mr. Carraway, and the council members. My name is LaWanda Jones. I reside at 3806 Shady Hill Drive in Dallas, Texas, 75229. I stand on behalf of the Greater Cornerstone Baptist Church, which is adjacent to the proposed property that is being considered for rezoning. My purpose is to note for the record that we, the Greater Cornerstone Baptist Church, are not in support of the proposed use at this location. We are not in opposition of the house being sold.
However, we are adamantly opposed to the rezoning of this property from its current residential status. Our concern is that spot rezoning will open the door for other rezoning efforts which will totally change the dynamics of this quaint bedroom community. We believe that the proposed use is an incompatible land use for this site. Because of the unique location of the proposed property in question, we also believe that this site cannot be adequately used for its intended purposes for lack of parking and site plan limitations. Furthermore, Greater Cornerstone Baptist Church has not and will not entertain any requests to lease out its parking facilities. Again, we want to note for the record that we are not in support of the proposed use at this location. We respectfully ask that the council members would uphold the Planning Commission's recommendation to deny this request with prejudice. Thank you for your time and support to speak on this issue.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Mayor and Council, my name is Cynthia Durbin, and I've lived in the Stultz Road neighborhood since 1968. That's 43 years. I'm here to object to the rezoning of the Stultz Road from location from residential to a planned development district. I moved to the neighborhood when Eric Johnson was mayor, who really cared about the neighborhoods of Dallas and set up goals for Dallas, and I was on one of the committees for the goals for Dallas. Our neighborhood took the ball. We got petitions signed for an extension of Royal Lane to be constructed, a bus line to go through our neighborhood, and a public library to be built. We went to the Chamber of Commerce, got it on the bond issue, and all of which passed, and we have these in our neighborhood. I have lived in this neighborhood, ever since I've lived in this neighborhood, outsiders have tried to come in and tried to change our neighborhood from residential to commercial. This is just another effort to change our great neighborhood, the neighborhood so beloved that children of my children's age are returning and buying homes to live in this neighborhood. It is one of the most successful segregated neighborhoods in Dallas. Multiple ethnicities and cultures live in peace and happiness in our neighborhood. The Hillcrest Masonic Lodge, from the outside, on four occasions to the City Planning Commission, which denied the rezoning with prejudice, stated, as has been stated before, that the property was vacant, that the church wanted it rezoned, which was not true.
Thank you, ma'am. Your time
Thank
is
you
up.
Very
Thank
much.
You so kindly. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Councilwomen, and Councilmen, my name is Catherine Sarish McGovern. I live at 4364 Royal Ridge Drive in Dallas. I am familiar with the Stultz Road neighborhood because I have walked throughout the neighborhood. I have spoken to people who live there. I have observed the community and the familiarity and the diversity of the community. I, like the other members before me, or speakers before me, ask the council to agree with the Planning Commission's recommendation that the application be denied and that it be denied with prejudice, because this is a neighborhood, it's flourished, it lives well. The people who would be most impacted by this change urge you not to approve it. And I want to add my voice, because if it were happening in my neighborhood, I would be right here saying spot changes to residences are not appropriate. And I urge you to vote in favor of the recommendation of the Planning Commission to deny the application. Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Secretary.
Mr. Mayor, there appears to be all of the speakers on the item at this time.
All right, thank you. And let me
Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't know which part to speak on.
Oh, okay. Are you speaking in favor of the city plan?
I'm speaking in favor of spot zoning.
Okay.
Yes, that's what I'm speaking on. Trina Trish, 1818 Corsicana, Dallas, Texas. I had the pleasure to attend a planning and zoning where there was a church that wanted a spot zone change so that they could set up, and it was in a neighborhood. And that neighborhood disagreed because they said it would change the atmosphere of the neighborhood. Economic development brings change. There are very few places that there's nothing to exist that you can place things. Therefore, somebody's neighborhood will change. When considering spot zoning, you have to take a lot of things into effect. Change is always necessary. As I told them, I thank God somebody thought about changing Jim Crow laws. It is not based on the fact that this is a neighborhood. That's where schools set up. That's where they are. That's where churches set up. That's where they are. The idea is that you do everything possible to make sure that the change is a positive one and promotes growth for the neighborhood. And so, therefore, I would be in opposition of not allowing them the economic opportunity or opportunity to set up based on the fact that it is just a residential neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no other speakers, Madam Secretary, let me weigh in and say one. I'd like to thank you all for coming down. I'd like to encourage each and every one of you to know that Councilman Allen, and he's going to speak next, he has worked extremely hard on this project. And he dotted I's and crossed T's. I think that he's to be commended. We're going to hear from him and let him speak to his constituents of his district. But I just want to say to you, Councilman, you've done a tremendous job. I know it for a fact. We've had meetings. So at this time, Councilman Allen.
Thank you, Mayor. Thanks to all the fine citizens from Stilts Road for coming down. It's a strong community, a proud community. As you can see, a community with passion. This is really a tough situation. This is a tough situation. What you got, a home that in 1959 was there. Wasn't a whole lot around that home. And then it got built up around it. Zoning changed on other things, allowed other non-residential areas to come in. And so it's there. It's kind of segregated by itself. Problem that it is, it's surrounded by Cornerstone Baptist Church. It's a parking lot, completely surrounded by it. And at the end of the day, that home, it's not going to be the dream home of anybody down the road. I'll tell you right now, it will not be someone's dream home surrounded by the church. And so you have to look out, too, for the homeowner on these things as we do this. Because, again, it will not be anyone's dream home. To give you an idea, on Stilts Road, there's 48 properties listed on DCAT. 35% of them are non-residential. But this home was there a long time ago. And unfortunately, the value of it, instead of going up, it's gone down. And we've kind of gone through the process. It's true, the Masons did take a look at it. There was 14 members of them. They were going to meet every Tuesday night. Going to pay $275,000 for that piece of property. But through conversations with the Masons, they've decided to withdraw their offer. So that offer is no longer on the table. So now we're kind of back to that family that owns that home that's surrounded by the parking lot, and they're back out on the market again. They've been on the market for a long time. My heart goes out to them on this situation. My heart goes out to them because it's a tough deal. Hopefully, maybe at some point in time, maybe the church can make a fair offer and do something for that home, because otherwise it's just going to sit there and be an eyesore eventually, the way I see it. So, fellow councilman, I'd like to go ahead and deny this application and deny it without prejudice.
Yeah.
All right, it's been moved and seconded.
Two seconds, Mr. Mayor.
Is that second, Mr. Newman and Mr. Cadane. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion. Thank you. Thank you all for the cornerstone. Thank you, Jerry, Councilman Allen, for your hard work. So congratulations on that picture. Madam Secretary.
Item 50 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an application for and an ordinance granting a mixed-use district on property zoned in Industrial Research District and a resolution accepting deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on the east side of Maple Avenue between Inwood Road and Butler Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 13 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area request. We received 2 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the recommendation of the City Plan Commission? Anyone that would like to speak in favor?
Good afternoon, Mayor, members of the Dallas City Plan. I'm sorry, the Dallas City Council. Suzanne Kedra, 901 Main Street. At this time, I'm going to ask your indulgence if you could hold the public hearing open, but hold it under advisement indefinitely. We've been working on another tract, abutting this tract, and we'd like to bring them both together to you at one time. And rather than ask that the case be held, you know, for another month or two, we're going to need some additional time to get the abutting tract through Planning Commission and before you for consideration. But we are excited about this prospect. We do are fully supportive of the City Plan Commission recommendation as well. Thank you.
Ms. Madron.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Susan. As you can see, we had it on, we've postponed this or kept the public hearing open since October of last year. And Susan, do you think within 6 months or within a year? I mean, I hate to ask the council to keep on have this hearing open indefinitely.
I would be fine with 2 or 3 months. I just the other case is pending, and so we're kind of trying to bring them together. So I guess it's going to depend on how quickly planning staff thinks the other case would come along. But if you'd like to hold it for say 3 months, I'd be happy to do that as well, if that's more convenient for you.
What date would that be, Madam Secretary?
Holding it for 2 months.
Three.
Three would be best.
June. Yeah. What do you think, June?
I think that'd be fine, and if it's not, we'll be back here in June.
Thank you, Mr. Salazar. Pardon me? I'd like to keep the public hearing up until June the 22nd, 2011.
Thank you.
Is it? All right, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor? Any opposed? All right. We're getting there. Item number 51.
Mr. Mayor, it was 2 seconds?
Yes, ma'am. This one and Dave Newman and the second.
Yes, sir. Item 51. Is a public hearing, is a benefit assessment hearing to receive comments on street paving, storm drainage, water, and wastewater main improvements for Brockbank Drive from Labarde Lane to Bynum Avenue to 600 feet north of Wheelock Street, and at the close of the hearing, authorizing ordinance 11 benefit assessments and a construction contract with JRJ Paving LP, lowest responsible bidder of 7, not to exceed $2,547,177. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this item? If you come forward now and state your name and your address for the record.
Mr. Mayor. My name is Nancy Fox, 9818 Brockbank. I more have a question, I guess, than anything else. I am a homeowner. I'm retired on Social Security, and I'm getting a notice that I'm going to have to pay $14,000 on a property that not too long ago the city took part of my property. And now they want to charge me another $14,000 plus for this. And I have a concern as to why this is, if there's anything I can do about it. Plus, there is a tenant in the property. Unfortunately, they haven't been paying rent. But they also want to know as to how much their access would be in and out of the property, how long they would not be able to get in and out of that property.
Rick Gasserone. All right, well, we're getting our question answered. Mr. Salazar.
Thank you, Mayor. I think those are very good questions. Anytime we do benefit assessments, the actual amount is not due immediately, but it's added on as a part of the bill, a lot of times to the water bill. So obviously, it gets paid out over a period of time, and it's also divided up. If it's different properties individually zoned, they'll be able to pay it individually based upon their water meter. But that being said, this neighborhood and this school, which is the Pancho Medrano Middle School, has waited already 4 years for the construction of this street. This street is very important because it connects Lombardi to the school and through the neighborhood, and through the neighborhood beyond Bynum, you see a very nice, a street that has capacity for four cars. But when you get to the school and a little bit beyond where many other children live down south, you have more or less a two-lane street with no curves, gutters, no sidewalks. And when we were discussing the creation of the school, the concern was the safety of the children and their being able to walk to and from school from Lombardi all the way up to the school. So the council, through the bond program, has authorized up to $2.5 million to address the safety issues as well as the drainage issues. And it'll be a major improvement for the property owner there, not only commercial but also residential. But more importantly, it could be a safety measure for not only the children but pedestrians to be able to go up and down Lombardi as they walk through that neighborhood. So with that, I will move to close the public hearing and to approve this item.
Second. Has been moved and second. Ms. Davis, please.
No.
All right. It's been properly moved and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Madam Secretary, number 52.
Item 50. I'm sorry.
All right. Okay. Make your comment.
My apologies. Thank you for hearing us. My name is John Klein. I'm an owner of 9830 Broadbase. And talking about the assessments, with what you're relating to, in negotiations when the city came in and purchased our land, or forcefully, strong-handedly took it from us, we did settle on negotiation on a set price. And with that, it was pretty clear that we were not to be responsible for any payment for the construction. Now we're getting an assessment. And, of course, our contact person is no longer with the city. So everything's kind of frustrating on this. We're being billed $12,500 as what you're saying. You're talking about a safety issue. That's fine. But we were told in negotiations that the bond money was there, there would be nothing out of pocket, and everything was taken care of. So I do protest this.
Okay.
And I would like some clarification on this.
If you move to you, and thank you very much, move over to your left, and one of the city attorneys will meet you over here to the left.
Welcome to the big city.
Thank you. All right. Madam Secretary, number 50. You too?
Okay, go on.
Oh, wait a minute. Come on.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I'm sorry about what I am, how am I look. We are hardly working persons right there. I'm in 9748 Broadbank.
Okay.
And we understand that this street is going to improve our area and the kids for Pancho Medrano, like Steve says. They really need the sidewalk. But right now our situation is pretty hard. You know, it's pretty hard to pay. They charged me about $11,000, and right now it's, we don't, you know, our situation, our business is kind of slow, the street and everything, and if when the street, when the construction starts, it's going to make a hard our situation because it's going to stop our traffic, and I don't know if you can reconsider, you know, to charge us for that, but, because to me it looks pretty high. And I understand when it's a city property, and to me, it looks like the city is supposed to pay for that. I don't know if you can help us on that. And also, if, in the worst case, if we had to pay, at least just stop charging us for, you know, because they for financing, they're supposed to charge 8%. At least stop charging us for the financing.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Warren, would you also see this gentleman as well? Okay. Any others speaking on that item? Come on.
Well, my name is Felipe Martinez. I'm from the 9714 program. Brooklyn, sorry. I'm going to try to explain just a little bit. When the first time the inspector, or I don't know, the city of Dallas came to 9714 Roma and asked me, they're going to make the street bigger and say they're going to take part of the 9714 Roma. I tell him, it's okay, you can take it. And he say, no, but I have to pay you something. I say, no, I don't need some money because it's going to be good for the street. But he told me, no, we have to buy part of your property. I said, well, it's okay. And he told me, well, I'm going to give you $618, something like that. I said, well, it's okay. You can give me the money, but I don't need the money anyway. But now, they charge me $3,450. So they charge me more money than what they give me. You know, I think that's not right because, like the other guy say, I think this is part of the city.
Okay.
That's all I want to say.
All right. They're going to see you as well. All right. Ms. Mark Golden. We're through with the speakers now. Now we're going to go with Ms. Mark Golden. Ms. Mark Golden.
Well, we voted on this before hearing all of the speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would like to move to reconsider and open this up again and postpone it pending further conversation with the people who came down here.
Okay.
So I would like to move to reconsider.
All right. Is that a second? Okay. That's a second? Mr. Salazar.
Thank you. Based on that, there were several meetings with them. I've just spoken to the director of Public Works. There was never a representation that they would not pay the fees as far as the after construction. But the amount that they're being asked to pay on their assessment represents, of the $2.5 million, represents $300,000 commercial property. We're now, this is a 2006 bond program. We're now 5 years out. I would strongly oppose this motion to reconsider because we need to keep this project moving forward. We had a long delay in negotiating just to get the right to the property for the easements, and that's what delayed this over a year. To now go back to reconsider, to do meetings, could possibly delay this an additional 3 to 4 months. And possibly also add additional costs to the project. The safety of the children at Pancho Medrano Middle School, these parents call me every month saying, when is the street going to get done? And I promised them that we would, as a council, would try to keep the street moving forward to address it because they would hope that this street would have been built at least by 2008. And we're now 2011. So I would ask that we either that the maker of the motion retract the motion or otherwise the council to vote down the motion to reconsider.
Okay. Mr. Natinsky, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, bond programs are things that really take a long lead time to even get projects onto a bond program, and then it takes time, as Mr. Salazar said, to move them through. The question I have, we heard two of the speakers whose basic concern was not that the project was being done, was the financial impact on them. Mr. Hendricks or Rick or whoever, you know, is appropriate, it seems to me that I remember something that in situations like that, are there not payment plans that are set up with property owners Can you explain that? And maybe that would put some ease to the two speakers that had the immediate financial concern.
Yes, sir. Those type of arrangements can be made in this circumstance.
Have we had those discussions with them yet, or is that something that we need to do?
That's something that's discussed, but we'll go ahead and meet with them. I've made a note of all the speakers. And
well, I would suggest not only call the speakers, is maybe go out and get all the property owners along that, you know, section where the road is going to be improved. You know, the two gentlemen that came down may be the only two out of I don't know how many, you know, property owners, and make sure that you know, they're all aware of whatever
options that you have,
delay payment plans the city can offer them to get it to fit within their financial means. You might want to have them come back down and discuss that with them. Thank you.
All right. Mr. Allen, please.
I go along with Councilman Tinsky, just along that same lines. It was back to hearing the dollar amounts that was involved in this, and then just wanted to make sure that they're in turn getting their money's worth out of it. And Councilman Salazar, it sounds like from what you're saying that your study shows that the benefit is there, and then the options are available to the folks to, for lack of better words, pay it out.
There's a motion on the floor for Ms. Margolin.
After hearing the conversation, I would like to withdraw the motion.
All right. All right. The second and the motion has been withdrawn. We're ready to vote on Mr. Salazar's original motion. We did this.
But the motion needs to be restated, Mr. Mayor, because you did have speakers after the motion passed.
Okay. Mr. Salazar, would you please restate the motion?
Motion was to close the public hearing and to approve agenda item number 52 as recommended by staff.
Second.
All right. It's been moved and properly second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Madam Secretary?
Item 52, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, ma'am.
Item 52 is a public hearing to receive comments in preparation of the FY 2011-12 operating capital grant and trust budget. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on the preparation, comments on the preparation of this FY 2011-12 operating capital grant and trust fund budget? Please come forward at this time and state your name and address for the record.
Thank you. Good afternoon again. Trina Trish, 1818 Corsicana, Dallas, Texas. Last year, as they went over the budget and different things, and they were deciding to make cuts and everything, I came to this council over and over again saying, let's eliminate waste, saying property taxes does not stimulate an economy, saying let's put the people first. Nevertheless, when I speak about waste, I'm talking about one-stop shopping. I'm talking about let's get all the entities together under one roof so that when people need help, they can do that. The cut shouldn't come from the bottom, but rather the top. We see the policemen on the streets and the teachers in the school, yet I was given only recently this sheet of paper, this big stack of papers that have a lot of housing available. Government assistance housing with absolutely no waiting period. Staying at 1818 Corsicana, which is a shelter, being an educated person who had a home foreclosure and then having to deal with the government. I went to several different people in government, and each one said to inquire about this. Well, that's not what we do. Well, that's not what we do. Well, that's not what we do.
Well, who deals with it?
Why are there people still in shelters getting checks when you have multiple homes for low rent? Why are they not paying rent like everybody else? How about that? Where my teachers at? Nevertheless, again, and if they need assistance, why are they not in nursing homes like everybody else? Where my policemen at? What's going on? And I'm not singing a song.
Thank
and
you.
We're making
thank you very
budget.
Much. Ms. Trish, thank you very
and
much.
And not eliminating waste.
All right.
Are there any other speakers on the budget? Please come forward.
Good afternoon. Carlos Marroquin, 5106 City Springs, Dallas, Texas, 75235. Just may have a chance last time to be here before council before the budget, but I just want you all to consider all the employees that work here in the city of Dallas, work in this building, work in streets and water and sanitation, answer phones. They do everything that we have to do for the city, that you take under consideration all of what they do. Everything that they've done is also coming back to the city, because a lot of those workers live in the city of Dallas. So see it as an investment on maybe not getting too many more furloughs, maybe not having cut in salary. I know it's a very hard budget. I understand it's going to be a very hard budget. I know you guys are going to do your best. I know Mary's going to do her best to try to make sure that we don't get so many cuts, but please keep everybody in mind, not only the people that work in this building, but all the people that are out there in trucks, fixing streets, fixing the water, doing code. And if you can do that, it'd be greatly appreciated, not only by me as a taxpayer, by also by all the citizens here, and also by all our members in our union. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, City Council members and mayor, or may not be. My name is Wang Wu. I live in the city of Dallas. And every morning I get up and I go to the store early in the morning. I see all these people coming in here. Commuters. We pay for them. We pay for these people to come in this city, make their money, and leave out. And they pay no taxes. They use our streets. They use our lights. They use our... They don't pay taxes. And this city has a lot of poor people in it. And poor people pay taxes. So when I go to the store and pay for a dollar, get $1.39 soda water, and it wind up costing $2, I'm paying some taxes. And I want these people that's running up and down these freeways, coming in here, taking this money out of here, I want them to pay some taxes. This is the people on television, the teachers, all of them. They just run in this city and run out. And they say, oh, I don't live in Dallas. Oh, I come in here about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I drive a yellow truck, and I want to make sure they see my truck because I don't want them to hit me. Well, I think it's time for them to pay commuter taxes to increase our budget so we can have 5 or 6 people in this city. And when I grew up in this city, it was a city full of people. Now you go downtown, you can't see no people. Ain't nobody down there but the police. And that's ridiculous. I don't want to live in no city like that. This is a city. It is not a country town. It's a city. And if you don't want to live in the city, go back to the country. Or stay there.
Thank you.
Any other speakers? Mr. Mayor, we need a motion to close the public hearing.
Second. I've been moved and seconded to close the public hearing. Ms. Davis.
I just want to know on agenda item 52, I was going through this, did we get this in the paper or anything? May I ask for the finance person? Can you come up, please? Did we get this in the paper?
The notification on this public hearing was through the city's website. We notified all the homeowners associations. It's not a required public hearing, so we don't have that formal newspaper notification requirement.
And Mary, the reason I'm saying, I got a fellow counselor from Neighborhood Association president and said they either not own the city list, they didn't know about it.
Okay.
And so...
we'll get them on there.
Okay, because I'm just saying, as tough as this budget is going to be this year, I want to make sure that everybody have a chance to talk about their concerns on what they want to see in this budget, because this is a very, very tough budget. And so, and I make sure that those names are given to you. I did I did get a copy of some of the neighborhood association. These were my district. Some of those people have died, and there has not been an update on that particular list. And so I just think we just need to go back and make sure that we have everybody on that list.
When we do this, we send them to neighborhood newspapers directly to neighborhood associations. We have a blast that we send out. But any of you have that needs updating there, we'd be glad to get them. Because
okay,
those
thank
advertisements
you.
In the morning news are very, very expensive. So.
So when we start moving forward with this particular budget, you won't be doing the paper as much?
Well, this was not an official required public hearing, so we didn't advertise it. We will have ones we advertise in
okay.
the morning news, but
thank
trying
you.
To be frugal. We'll get those updates for you.
There's been a motion. All right, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor? Any opposed? Let me ask, and glad that we have you all still here and all energetic and everything, Gail and Ms. Cook. Larry Beasley is here. We're going to read this into the record, and then at one point we're going to ask you to please come around, but let us officially read it into the record. And then I'm going to ask Ms. Beasley to please come forward, and then we'll move from there after some comments from Ms. Beasley.
We got it. Item number 53 is a public hearing to receive comments regarding an ordinance amending the comprehensive plan of the City of Dallas to incorporate the West Dallas Urban Structure and Guidelines and a resolution adopting the West Dallas Urban Structure and Guidelines for the area generally located north of Interstate 30, west and south of the Trinity River, and east of Sylvan Avenue. Mr. Mayor, for the record, Council Member Salazar has a conflict, and Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano.
All right. That's been read into the record. Let's go with Mr. Beasley. Mr. Beasley, thank you once again, and let us hear some of your remarks as it relates to this project.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of Council. You will obviously decide at the end of your public hearing what decision you wish to make on the matter before you. You are poised today to make what I see from my work in many places in the world as a very transformative step for Dallas. Now, you know, you're going to be approving a plan for an area. It's an important area, and I believe that we've brought forward to you a very innovative plan. But you're also showing, I think, in this decision, a more productive way to do the business of the city, for planning and for managing development. Only very smart cities have seen the opportunity to use urban design as a way to discover the best solution for their city and also to reconcile the differences between many people in a democracy about the best way to move forward. Only a few cities have also taken on the real control of the physical formation of their growth and their change so that they can ensure quality, so that they can ensure neighborliness, so that they can ensure the growth of a genuine new market potential for development in their city that is really targeted to the needs of consumers, and so that they can foster collaboration. And I think that that's what this plan and the process behind this plan has been meant to do. It is really, I believe, fair to say, and I think the newspapers even said this morning, a template for similar challenges and opportunities all over Dallas. An approach to plan from design, not just from policy, and an approach to maximize total inclusiveness, regardless of what people's interests are or where they come from. If they have an interest in the topic, they should be involved. And an approach to adjust the old tools for active, very active implementation. Now, you made this possible when you formed the City Design Studio over a year ago. I think the Trinity Trust also made it possible, and especially Dee Dee and Rusty Rose made it possible when they provided their financial sponsorship. It's important to note that there has been no city money in this effort to date. It has been funded separately. But who really made it possible, I think, is all the people who were involved, who decided to try out this new and different way to do things, and who, when they did that, really put their hearts and their soul into the process. The La Bajada neighborhood of gentle but I think worried people at the beginning, the West Dallas and Oak Cliff business people in their chambers who were frustrated that things were not moving forward in this area, many other property owners and individual tenants, a very cooperative major landowner, West Dallas Investments, and of course a huge involvement by City Hall staff from many, many departments at all steps along the way. And we did find through design and through, I have to say, many, 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 many very fun and interesting meetings, we did find a common plan that all of these people have endorsed. And it seems that truly that the people of that area and the people interested in that area really do want. And you have some of the documentation for that already before you, and I'm sure you're going to hear other delegates today. I think this will be a somewhat unique approach here in the city of Dallas, the idea that you would approve a concept for a plan, but not necessarily all the aspects of implementation at the same time, and all the zoning changes and all of that, which has the effect of vetting or putting in place the dream, but also giving a great deal of freedom and flexibility to manage this as you go along, and also to endorse and add in new and creative ideas as they become evident over the next few years. Now, if council does decide to move forward today, we will then start a very aggressive implementation program literally tomorrow morning. And we will, in that program, use the same kind of inclusive process involving everyone, and using that to both discuss, learn, and discover the best approaches to implementation. We're not saying there's some implementation tools out there. We're saying let's try to be totally open-minded about the optimum implementation tools. And I think that's very important. We have had the chambers put together a think piece, you've seen that, that has many ideas of implementation. We're going to work with the neighbors over the next little while to put something similar for them so that there is always that balance between business and community people as we move forward. And those really should be for your consideration at a later date, the game plan, you might say, for moving this forward and making sure it happens over the next 20 years. I want to be clear, you are not being asked to make any decisions specifically on implementation today. You're only being asked to endorse the plan and to instruct your staff to make it a priority in their continuing work. Now, finally, as you open the floor for other for the public delegations, I want you to know that the City Design Studio will continue to hear and resolve and work with anyone who comes forward and continues to have their particular anxiety about the plan. This is the beauty of this plan. We don't stop the planning process now. We continue. We want to work with people because we want to optimize everyone's potentiality as we bring forward the actual redevelopment and change that really will make this community sing. The fact is that we believe that, having said everything, it is a very important area. At the foot of the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge, it will be a new support area for downtown. It will be a very great place to live within 5 to 7 minutes of downtown, and it should be very carefully developed, and it should be developed in a way that's consistent with the existing assets and the existing interests that have been in that community for generation after generation. Thank you for this opportunity to provide those opening remarks, Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Ms. Beaton.
Thank you.
Ms. Atkins?
Oh, yes. Did you want to hear the speaker first?
Yes, absolutely.
Monty Anderson, Mr. Anderson.
Hi, I'm Monty Anderson, 901 Fort Worth Avenue. I'm the owner of the Belmont Hotel and the president of Options Real Estate, and I'm glad to be here today and to support this plan. In my also in another life, I'm the founding president of the Congress for the New Urbanism, and I've been able to travel around the country and see other plans and other cities that have done great work like this. And never Never have I seen in any of our local cities or Dallas or any of the other local suburbs a plan that's this good. And I've read every page, all 130 pages of this plan, and I think that it's time that in southern Dallas we've seen pictures of developments come to us for many years. They show us the pretty picture. They show us all these plans. And by the time it gets on the ground, it's completely different. And it's happened to us over and over my entire career. This plan here, I believe, will actually give us the picture that we see. And so today I'm in 100% support, and I think the process is great, and I just hope you will support it and move forward to the next part of the plan, which is the implementation. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak on this item? If so, come forward at this time.
Frank Ward, Mr. Mayor, Dwayne Calway, good to see you again. I'd just like to say, when it comes to West Dallas probably in the next 5 years is going Dallas in the next 5 years is probably going to become North Kessler Park. We continue to talk about development South Dallas, but most of the African American doesn't really consider West Dallas South Dallas. West Dallas is West Dallas. And with the Signature Bridge, that should be evidence of the development along with the Trinity Project. West Dallas, if half of it, if not all of it, is going to become North Kessler Park. Again, there goes the development. It is my sincere desire, even if it comes down to begging my African-American representation on this council, to at least give me the opportunity to express to them what I've been trying to for the last year when it comes to development. We could turn this city around in a couple of years, and we can redevelop all the waste areas, all the poor areas, all the ghettos in South Dallas in the African-American communities. If you would just give me that request. It is my hope and my prayer, Mr. Calway, since you are now mayor of this great city, that you at least extend that to me. I'm not asking for the key to the city. I'm just asking for some time to express my concern, to share the vision that I've gotten over 20 years ago. Again, South Dallas would have been developed over 20 years ago if the project that I proposed had not been stolen and other people's benefits from it. You know, I let my hair grow and all of that, and people start thinking I was crazy because I let my hair grow and my beard and all that. No, I'm an educated man, and I know exactly what's going on. I'm of sound mind, body, soul, and spirit. And it is my sincere desire to share with you all. Let me just say one other thing. The African-American organizations are underutilized here in the city. Can I finish up like you gave everybody else a couple of
seconds? Let me follow procedure. Your time is up now. I heard you.
But you gave others. I mean, that's 10 seconds.
Please, I'm going to meet with you. Your time is up now. Madam Secretary, next speaker.
Next speaker, please. Come forward.
Thank you, council members, mayor. I'm from 319 West Main in West Dallas. Only question I have is, I'd like to make sure that when the production and the development of West Main be done, that we all are included on the development of this place. Not highly taxed, because we read the stuff about helping our houses, making it better looking and everything, but it only counts for the 20,000 mark of wages. It doesn't help us out if we make 50 and above on our, you know, income tax return. And to me, that's shorting us from, we in a recession. We're already forced to go in the budget, and the whole world is forced to go in the budget. And we need help, as in 10 years, we'll be cutting it real close in developing. And I need to make sure that we already going through this thing with the schools and everything, and the teachers are not going to be there, and the classes are going to be jumbled up for the kids. When John White Price was helping us with that to make it 20 to 25 narratives, it's affecting our schools. Now they are starting to develop on the highways and stuff. What exactly is we going to get out of this? Besides the development taken from us, it ain't really giving us nothing that makes 50 and above on income a year, 50,000 up. I just want to know, can we get a better deal on this development besides we give and they take? Thanks.
All right, thank you. If you would, someone's going to get with you to answer some of your questions, sir. AC, would you get with the gentleman? Someone's going to get with you, okay? All right, go ahead, ma'am.
Good afternoon, Mayor Caraway and members of the council. My name is Eva Elvo, and I reside at 3326 Herbert Street in La Bajada. My family has lived in this area since 1946. That's 65 years. I am also the newly elected co-chair of La Bajada Neighborhood Association. I stand here before you as a resident of Herbert Street, expressing my gratitude to the City Design Studio for their hard and unrelenting work, for the great talent in presenting to you this conceptual vision, a proposal of rebirth in an urban structure development and economic growth for everyone west of the Trinity to the south. The City Design Studio won me over with a motto, enhance, protect, and conserve La Bajada. Bring forth an incremental development. La Bajada, being at the western gateway of the Continental Bridge, has long been past and seemingly unforgotten for years. Not just in economic growth and development, but with respect to the recognition of our existence from our council representatives. It is our hope that this development will bring forth employment and business opportunities to our area residents and keep affordable housing. La Bajada is currently undertaking to implement a neighborhood stabilization overlay, ensuring a protection and an aid to maintain our community of single-family homes intact for our families for generations to come. Our first pre-petition meeting is tomorrow, and I am anxious. And as for Herbert Street becoming, as Herbert Street becomes a main thoroughway along Singleton Boulevard connecting Commerce Street and I-30, that attention might be lost to the traffic calming project designed to protect our neighborhood.
Thank you, ma'am. Your time is up, unfortunately. Thank you so kindly for coming.
Good afternoon. My name is Paula Hutchison, and I'm representing 507 West Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75208, and also to speak in part for the Lone Star Missionary Baptist Church. We have been in that area. The church has now for 72 years, and also our community has existed over there on West Main Street for 100 years. And we went through trash being dumped there, metal cars and so forth being dumped and recycled in our community over that period of time. And we weren't able to do any reconstruction. It was considered industrial in that area. And now that this transition has occurred, what we're asking for is the majority of the community has disintegrated. We do have approximately 18 residents still in the area. Our main concern, which the City Design Studio cannot assure us, is that eminent domain will not move us out and take our properties from us, particularly in part of the Herbert Street Bridge or crossing and the rail systems that are coming through. We also attempted to ask for lighting and have our streets paved and so forth, and none of that ever occurred. Our families paid taxes throughout the years. Our families worked hard and struggled to build those homes for us, and we want to keep our live history there in the community. Thank you.
And thank you so kindly.
My name is Felix Lozada. I live at 3228 by 10. I'm not an eloquent speaker like Eva is, and so I have to speak from my heart, what's in my heart.
Okay.
And it's been quite some years before we were in the park and recreation together.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And, I have come here before you to approve the tremendous work that the City Design Studio has been doing for West Dallas, for La Bajada. And I would like to put some more emphasis in the preservation of our neighborhood. We don't want our La Bajada to disappear like Little Mexico did. Perhaps many of you will think that our homes are nothing but shacks. And perhaps you're right. But the city of Dallas has invested some money in renovating our homes, putting an electric wiring on our homes, air conditioning, so it's making it more comfortable for us. And many years ago, many of you were still in high school or maybe in grammar school, I came before the city council to ask for a permit to build another bedroom for my house. And I was very grateful. I was very grateful for that permit because I was able to build another bedroom and another room for my, so that my father could spend his last years in a comfortable position and enjoy his last years. Later on in life, my wife had to take dialysis, and she couldn't stand the pain anymore, so she told me, honey, would you shut off?
Go ahead, finish up. On the honor of your former park board appointee, finish up and go off your statement.
My wife said, honey, call the center and tell them that I won't be able to go anymore. I'm just tired of suffering so much. So I called the center, and they sent a hospice, and they did a wonderful job for my wife. They brought in another bed for her so she could be comfortable and so that she was in a comfortable position. Well, I was at the... Well, I was at her side, and she said, honey, give me one more kiss. And as I bent down to kiss her, she said, thank you for 53 wonderful years. And she squeezed my hand and she passed away. That is one of the reasons that perhaps I value our home so much. And on the weekends, like I call my children, we're having a menudo for dinner. And they all come in. We're having lengua for dinner, and they all come and they can enjoy it. Where else can a 90-year-old man find such peace and such a wonderful time with his children?
All right. Look, thank you. You mean you're 90 years old now?
Sir?
Are you 90? You're not 90 years old. How old are you now?
Well, maybe 18. I'll be 89. And I'll be stepping on 90 years old.
All right. Look, thank you so much for coming. Thank you so kindly, all right? Thank you so very much. Thank you.
You have one more speaker. Is that all the speakers? You have one more.
Good afternoon. My name is Elizabeth Lewis. I stay at 319 West Main Street.
Okay.
I just wanted to get some more information on this design that's coming through. Are we going to be forced out of our property because we've been staying there for over 19 years? We raised all of our kids there, and most of the area over there is older people. That was the reason that we moved over there, for that reason. And as far as the parks and the railway and all that coming in, we want to know how is that going to affect our home. Because we stay right next to the church, Long Star Baptist Church,
mm-hmm.
and they came out with the designs and the maps, and I did not see our house on there. I've seen the church and the park and the railway and all that, so that was my question.
I don't want to just interrupt you, but AC is going to get with you. There's going to be a team to get with you.
Okay.
They're going to get with you, Dave, and they get with all three of you. and anyone else and, okay. and answer those questions that we have. They're going to get with you.
And so just follow. Zoning also?
Yeah, good. Okay. Go right over here. Okay. Thank you. All right. And you, ma'am, can join into that conversation and sir. Okay. Thank you. Madam Secretary.
Another speaker? Yes, sir. Okay.
My name is Randall White. I live at 1939 Mayflower Drive in Dallas. I own a business and live in the southern sector. I am the vice chairman of the board of the West Dallas Chamber of Commerce. I am your chairman of the Fort Worth Avenue TIF District Board. I am one of the founding presidents of the nonprofit Fort Worth Avenue Development Group and a past president of the Stevens Park Estates Neighborhood Association. I've been an on-the-ground volunteer in West Dallas and North Oak Cliff for 10 years. I want to share my appreciation of the City Design Studio and their incredible inclusive approach to coming up with new thinking for urban planning. The challenge we face in the southern sector of Dallas is that we want economic development, we want jobs, we want businesses, we want to be able to walk to villages, and yet it's scary because it means some changes. But what would typically happen in economic development in this kind of scenario is that people would come and scrape and build without consideration for the neighbors. And I can assure you that has not been the case. Hundreds of commercial residential property owners and community volunteers have had 40, 50 different meetings over the course of the last 18 months. This is the most innovative and inclusive planning approach I've ever seen, and I'm completely respectful of the process and the decision to protect our existing neighborhoods while also allowing for opportunities for economic development and job creation. Job creation. Gas was about to hit $5 a gallon. The West Dallas Chamber of Commerce, the Oak Cliff Chamber of Commerce, both have unanimously endorsed this plan, and I ask for your support today and your vote as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Is that up? Yes, sir. You come forward.
Thank you. Briefly, Mayor and Council, my name is Shade O'Quinn. I'm the President-elect of the Dallas Chapter of the American Institute of Architects. And on behalf of our 2,000 members, we want to commend this Council and the City Design Studio for this process, to engage professionals, to engage the local entities, to be a part of this process, and we want to give it our support. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Thune?
I just wanted to add one thing, following the speakers. There is no plan in this process for eminent domain, so nobody should worry about that. And some of the speakers were concerned about that. We just want to know that.
Okay. Thank you. Madam Secretary?
Mr. Mayor, that's all the speakers on that item.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Atkins, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will be making a motion to approve this item. But first, Mr. Beasley, would you come forward? And we talk about West Dallas, but we also talk about south of the Trinity, the southern sector, you know, what type of plan, what type of development. And we always try to look for a good template, you know, to do all projects. And Mary, this is something that the southern sector task force was trying to accomplish. You know, we're trying to find different sales or different corrals that we can put different guidelines to. And unfortunately, we're starting in West Dallas, but I keep bringing up UNT at Dallas. You know, we look at UNT at Dallas. We look at the development we're trying to bring there. We are talking about 16,000 students, maybe 12,000 households there. And I always keep talking about the Hillcrest versus University Hill now. And what we have at UNT at Dallas, we got the UNT plan sitting there, and we got all the land around the UNT. And the biggest problem that we have is that how do we learn from the West Dallas plan? What we're trying to do, we have the implementation of the plan, but we still got some education to learn what we can do. We did the UNT plan, but we also got the UNT University in the corral by itself. And this is a good opportunity that we need to release the corral a little bit further out, not just worry about UNT. And Mr. Beasley, I spoke to you yesterday. Would you share some of my ideas and concepts that at UNT that we have, but there are also other projects like Fair Park, you know, like the Corridor, the Bishop Arts District, Pleasant Grove, and I think that we need to start looking at different corrals throughout the southern sector and see how do we make sure we got a template here that's not going to be implementation, not today, but down the road it's going to be, but we got to come back and we got to find a plan. Could you just share some of that conversation?
If I may just jump in real quickly here.
One of the really exciting things about this plan is it has an implementation component that will kick off in April. And we've got some exciting ideas. Hats off to the West Dallas Chamber and the Oak Cliff Chamber for helping us assemble some of those ideas, a set of ideas, so we can look at different implementation strategies that will be applicable. Those will be new tools that we can use in all areas. And some of the tools we were talking about visiting with you yesterday, Councilmember Atkins, about how these tools will be able to use in other areas of town, whether it be Bishop Arts or Fair Park or North Dallas, to look at tools that we can really use and have in our toolbox that we can use in all areas of the city.
Your Worship, Mr. Mayor, if I could just add to that. Now that the studio, the City Design Studio, has its feet on the ground, has worked through a difficult planning assignment, will start shortly working through a difficult implementation assignment, It is possible for the studio to begin to apply the credibility of that to a number of other areas around the city. A number of council members have been in conversations with us about different ways to bring the studio in to intervene with what's going on, sometimes things that have been just struggling along for quite a while, and to use different techniques and different intensities of development to begin to facilitate some different kinds of answers, always building that premise of including as many people as possible, bringing new and innovative ideas into the equation, not accepting the old way of doing things, and focusing on design. You recall in the particular case of the university, we talked about even the potential of creating some new institutions to help operationalize some change. We talked about some strategic ways to do the urban design so that you begin to get more players into the equation. We talked about a higher level of collaboration with the university. That was an indication of a service to you that perhaps isn't as fully blown as the West Dallas plan was, because that was a huge level of service, but certainly in our conversation appeared to be one that would help to kickstart what you wanted to kickstart, where you had been feeling frustration. And I know that, I look to different counselors because we have been talking about that with different people. The idea is the studio is here from now on, that it should be, we will be starting to talk even as soon as tomorrow about some new initiatives the studio wants to take under its agenda over the next year or two. We have to collaborate with the other planning staff on that, and we, of course, will have to bring that forward in our conversations with you. But the nice thing is that you now have a capacity, a design capacity, to begin to address those kind of issues in a new and different way. And I think it bodes well for the future. That's why in my opening remarks I said this really, I believe, is a template, both in planning and in implementation.
And by saying that, I guess have to go back to our city manager. You know, we are talking about different tools in the toolbox, and anytime you get ready to put a tool in the toolbox, it costs money when you buy another tool. And we're fighting a very, very tight budget. We got to be very creative. How do we get that money to pay for the new tool, Mary? And I guess, you know, that I think that, you know, with the budget crisis and development is going south, that we need to rely on the private sector to come forward and let you know that, hey, we have a whole lot of diamonds rough throughout the whole city, and which diamond you want to go after, and you know, like UNT, the Fair Park, the Bishop Arts District, and Pleasant Grove, and how do we accomplish that? I know the implementation has come back. How soon are you planning on coming back with implementation?
Well, we're planning to have an all parties workshop in early April.
to get everyone together, and out of that should come a listing and commentary on implementation tools. I want to comment on your other remark, though, as well. It is true that these things often, in the end, cost money. But the fact is that there are organizational answers. There are ways to bring the private sector and the public sector wealth together. If you can create a genuine new market, if new consumers are interested, out of that you create wealth. And when you create wealth, you can then have both public and private investment coming together to create the kind of things you want. That's what we were talking about in the university case that we were all discussing yesterday, was creating a dynamic where there will be consumers who want to come and live in a learning community. This is happening all over North America. Many consumers are interested in it who were not interested in it just 15 years ago. And that, when you create a new demand, you create new wealth. When you create new wealth, you create new sources of funding to do the things you want to do. And so I think we need to depend more than on the traditional sources.
And tradition with that, and you said new wealth, but you also got to sell the community. And you got to make sure you got the right product if people want to buy that product. And I think that the city of Dallas, you know, we need to look towards how we market our city and how do we market different products through the city so we are different in different areas. So we got to show how we do that.
Exactly, which is why we would not, the ethos of this studio that you have created is not to go forward without very wide public involvement. Even today, I am anxious that a community of people who we have talked to are still feeling some of the words aren't strong enough, and we need to something into the record to show our intentions there. I hope that shows that we want to reach out to every single citizen, ratepayer, renter, anyone who has a stake in the city. And that's how you teach, and I think that's how you find new ideas.
Okay. With that, I move to close the public hearing and approve the resolution adopted to West Dallas Urban Structure and Guidelines and Ordinance Amendment to Comprehension Plan to incorporate the West Dallas Urban Structure and Guidelines.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, I just want to say that this is in Steve's district, and I want to commend him for all that he has done to ensure that he pulled the team together. And to the individuals who have come down, those citizens who live in West Dallas, you did the right thing, coming down and speaking about your neighborhood. Do not feel that you did something wrong. You live there. You've been there for 19, 20, and 30 years. Continue to stay in this process. Continue to ask questions. Continue to be a part of the process to ensure that you get what you want in your neighborhood. That what you want in your neighborhood. So continue to do that. I want to say that to you, that asking questions is healthy. To a young lady in the red, you asked some very good questions. And I think that the city have a right to give you the answers to what you asked. And find out when the meetings are. Find out. Stay on top of this to ensure that the things you want in your neighborhood is there, okay? I want to say that. The other thing I want to say is that we started the process of doing something similar, and I was really amazed with the West Dallas plan. And let me say that. I've read the plans. I think they're good. But I've gone through so many plans in a number of years since I've been a part of working at City Hall. Plans can sit on the shelves. And if you don't put some money behind it, they mean nothing. I think with this being a part of the Trinity River, and it's so close to the Trinity River, then I think something will be done. I think something will happen. And that's the exciting thing about it. Now for my district, we met with the design team. We've had several meetings to talk about long-term planning for MLK. And I have my little booklet, but still have a long ways to go. But this means nothing unless I find some money and find some partners to work with me. And I can't look back and say, well, Steve, I need your help with my district. I'm going to have to go out and try to find some partnership to make this plan work. It means nothing if I cannot find some partnership. I think the city is going to do what it can to help with this process, but we have to continue to find dollars to make things happen. But truly, I think that people have the right to come down and express concerns about their neighborhood, and that they must be involved to ensure that there is no eminent domain, that there is no taking of land, that there is someone is just trying to push them out. They have to stay involved in a process. So I want to commend you guys for coming down. Stand here with us all day to ask those questions. You did what I think is the right thing. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Ms. Davis. Ms. Hossel, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to echo my colleague's comments in terms of you guys coming down to speak. My grandmother lived in Los Altos, and they knew each other from the La Bajada people also. So I want to commend you guys for coming down. I want to commend you guys for staying on top of the plans, because La Bajada and Los Altos are very important to West Dallas, the tradition, the history of the Hispanic people. So I want to make sure that you know you have somebody here who understands it. After visiting my grandma in Los Altos all my life when I was growing up, and my mom lived there for a while also. So I will definitely be watching and taking care of Los Altos and La Bajada, along with my colleague, Steve Salazar, who has worked very hard on this plan. And then in terms, I'm going to be supporting this, and, you know, there's no problem there. I just want to be sure that we understand that we have a lot of plans on the shelf right now. We passed the humongous Bishop Davis land use study in August of last year, and here we sit in March of 2011, and nothing's happened. So the growth that has happened on Bishop and on Davis has been organic growth. You know, I know the city's working on several projects right now, so I have a lot of hope that that study will begin to come to fruition. But I want to be careful that we don't get expectations high and then nothing happens. So, you know, I pledge my support for this study and certainly, you know, with my grandmother having grown up in Los Altos, I have my heart is there. So I guarantee you that I will be watching it. Thank you very much, and thank you, ladies, for coming as well.
Thank you, Ms. Hossel. Mr. Nacinski, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, you know, some of us were joking that maybe we should have taken the vote on this over at the luncheon this afternoon.
I thought to call that for the vote.
You didn't do that, did you, Mayor? you know, Gail and Mary, I think this is the next step in a lot of the work that we've got to take the entire Trinity project and moving it forward. And of course, had we not had the funding for the city design studio, we might not be standing here today in the situation we are. I think there was certainly some trepidation when this project got started, because you're basically coming up with a new concept, and newness doesn't always sit with people. And watching the process go through, I think it's been very comforting to me to know that everybody came together, the business community, the residential community, and some long-established residential communities that could have gone into this with a high level of fear. So, Larry, kudos to you for pulling this off and getting it to the point that we are. Now, like many other plans, the key is implementation. I was happy to hear you say that you're going to start tomorrow morning. And it's not going to be one of those plans that end up in the bowels of City Hall with dust gathering on them. This is an indicator of the key economic development that we can have as a result of the Trinity project. I mentioned this at the briefing. I'm going to reiterate it today. While we may have the urban innovation zone concept ready to go, I think we also need to look at other parts of the city where an applicable, we can learn from this, and then we can sort of cookie cutter it, not exactly, but take the concept and go to other small communities and try to do the same thing. The key for me, though, is going to be not only implementation, but I think there's going to be economic help needed through our Economic Development Department to make some of these things happen. And while I don't believe that they should be total handouts, I think it has to be a partnership. People in the community have to bring something to the table to help make these things move forward. But the city may not have an appropriate set of tools in their toolbox for a small area redevelopment plan, for a local business to expand their business. My guess is most of them are going to fall under the threshold of our current tools that are in our toolbox. So I think we really need to get on just about as quickly and get Carl involved, Teresa, if appropriate, to come up with some other innovative ways to help the businesses in these communities grow themselves and be a better economic engine for the city. The other couple comments, you want to create an urban innovation zone. I guess this ought to be urban innovation zone number one, to give a clue that there's going to be a number two and a number three and a number four and so forth. And then I think we have to come up with some innovative economic zone to maybe overlay these areas so that the economic incentives and tools are working in conjunction with the development model that you put in place. The two have to work together. So I would certainly urge that we try to do that. And then we get periodic reports back here at the council as to the progress you're making. If we can measure the progress, then we know that we're on the right track. I appreciate your hard work at this, Larry, Gail, Mary, everybody else that's been involved, and especially the community. You all sat down here a long time today to get to this point, but I think it'll be worth it long term. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Soon, I just wanted to make one point that as we begin this work, this was not about the design studio sitting down in the corner by themselves. From the minute they arrived here, we have been involved with the other department directors in making it very clear to them that none of this succeeded unless everybody played a role. So Carl's already on board. Everybody's working in their area to make this kind of thing happen. And again, it's a template, and it's a learning process so that this can apply across the city, so that everybody understands that what they do impacts the design of the city, the economic development of the city, and I think this has brought it home in a way that not any other effort we've made has done. But I do want you to know every one of us, every department's involved.
All right, thank you, Ms. Soon. Ms. Margolin, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I too want to commend everyone involved for the work, the collaborative process, and coming up with results that have been endorsed by so many groups that you often find at the table but don't necessarily find agreeing when all is said and done. So I want to thank you, particularly Larry, for spearheading the process, but everybody for their involvement. But something that I want to point out that I think is a little bit different about this from a lot of other plans that have been done before that I'm very impressed with and that I think can be a model for the city going forward, and that is that this is not accompanied by recommendations for zoning changes. And typically in the past, we marry a land use plan such as this with sweeping zoning changes. And that immediately changes the dynamics of the values of the property in the area in question. And so I just want to make note and highlight the fact that that's not being done here. And that will allow for a more gradual, ongoing, kind of organic response using this plan as a guide. And I think that that's something that we may want to emulate as we go forward and do other plans. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Margolin. Mr. Allen, please.
Just short and sweet, just like to say thank you and thank y'all. Appreciate you so much.
All right, Mr. Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've been fortunate to have a district that is adjacent to this area. This is the geographic area that's within the studies in District 6. And at the briefing, was it last week or week before? Last week, thank you, Mary. The briefing, I used the term legs. because I really believe that this plan has the capacity to have legs. Legs that will go west into the balance of West Dallas. Legs that will come south into Oak Cliff. And legs that will go east into and connecting with the Trinity River Corridor Project. Most of the council today joined us celebrating progress of the Trinity Commons Foundation and the community's embracing of our Trinity Project. Flood control, transportation, parks and recreation, and never do we forget economic development. Because economic development feeds disposable income, feeds retail, feeds quality of life. And the great pictures that you provided us over time, and it started off as a blank canvas. It really did. And I'll never forget the first meeting we had on Saturday at the church. And it was a blank canvas, and we sat down at small tables, and slowly but surely, block by block, and street by street, the canvas got filled in. But at each stage of the game, you, Larry, and Brent, and David Whitley, of which I'm going to say again, Larry, Brent, and David, David, Brent, and Larry, interchangeable superstars, you reminded us all, council members, staff, citizens, that this is just a template. This is not an absolute. And I think that's what's important. So I'm excited about this template you put together and the legs that I think that we'll achieve. I'm excited, Larry, about our walk that we had a year and a half ago and visiting and looking up at what can be in different neighborhoods in an urban setting. I'm excited about the fact that this is what I call a true convergence of an existing, established neighborhood with a large property owner with 80-some acres of land in West Dallas. And it's being done in a way that respects both. And I think that's very important. As Ms. Margolin was talking about zoning cases, I mean, that's always a prickly issue. Prickly issue because you want to respect property rights and the vision, and how do you do that? A lot of times it's easy. A lot of times it's hard. But I'm very excited to be supportive of a project like this that's had three great planners, Whitley, Brown, and Beasley, because you guys have really done a good job of reaching out and making sure everyone's included. And I'm excited about the legs. The legs are going to go west to the rest of West Dallas. The legs that are going to go east to our Trinity River Corridor Project, and the legs that are going to come south to the rest of Oak Cliff. So thank you very much, Larry. Now, of course, Larry, you set a high bar here. Brent, you set a high bar. David, you set a high bar. Your work product now says what you can do in the future. So you're setting expectations here around the horseshoe. You're setting expectations of those citizens and business leaders that are here today. Have at it. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Newman. And let me add as we close, one, thank you, Gail. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Beasley, Brent, and to the entire staff. I want to thank those of you that came down to speak, to protect your neighborhood and to speak upon your neighborhood. And let me encourage you to continue to do so and encourage others to come down when there's a concern and there's something that you may be unclear about. Come down here and let us try to make sure that we can accommodate you best we can. So thanks to everyone. I think there's a motion on the floor. Thank you, Mary, and thank everyone that was involved in my park board, former park board colleague there. With that, Mr. Atkins made a motion. Ms. Hill seconded it. There's a motion on the floor. Are we ready to vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. Congratulations. All right. Madam Secretary.
Mr. Mayor, it's time for our speakers.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, our first speaker is Geraldine Holland. I didn't see Ms. Holland here today, Mr.
Okay.
Mayor. Trisha.
Trish.
Is it, Mr. Mayor, you want to read the rules before we start?
Would you like to read the rules before we start?
Oh, thank you very much. Citizens and other visitors attending city council meetings shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the city council. Any person making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the city council or while attending the city council meeting shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the city council during that session of the city council. You have 3 minutes to speak, and you'll see an amber light, and that means you have 30 seconds, and then the red light will mean stop. Make sure you state your name and your address for the record.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Trina Trish, 1818 Corsicana Street, Dallas, Texas. Let me start by saying Benjamin Banneker, 1731-1806, was born 3 in Maryland. He created the clock at the age of 22 years old using his clock. He predicted a solar eclipse would occur in 1789. By 1792, Banneker collected enough astronomical information to fill an almanac covering each day and month of the coming year. Farmers used his information to decide when to plant their crops. He assisted in the designing the plans for the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. The first African-American millionaire was William Alexander Leodore, 1810-1848, a founding father of California, who built the first hotel in San Francisco named City Hotel. He was also responsible for establishing the city's first public school. Abraham Lincoln Lewis, 1865-1947, first African-American millionaire from Florida. He never went to school, but he began working at a lumber mill. He invested in a shoe store in 1901. He helped to establish an insurance company for African-Americans, Afro-American Life Insurance. He purchased the Miami Mutual Insurance Company, which acquired Hawthorne Mutual Life Insurance Company, expanding its business operations into Georgia. He founded the Negro Business League and National Negro Insurance Association. He established the All-Black Lincoln Golf Club and Country Club, where boxer Joe Lewis was a frequent visitor. He bought 200 acres of Nassau County, known as American Beach, and sold ocean lots for $200. He died with an estate worth more than $1.5 million. Arthur George Gaston, 1892 to 1996, the grandson of a slave, became one of the most powerful and wealthy men in the state of Alabama, as well as the nation. Mae Jemison, 1956. In 1992, on the Space Shuttle Endeavour, she became the first African-American woman in space. You can read about it in the Women's Museum located in Fair Park. I say that to say African-Americans have added to the building of this nation for a very long time. We do more than hair. By the way, this is all my hair, but I don't worry about the hair. I worry about what's in the heart and what's in the head. Last week, you all denied me my First Amendment constitutional right to petition the government for a redress of government when you violated that that amendment right for me to speak, and you changed the order of what this came to.
Thank you. Your time is up, the truth.
And my rights should be at here.
Our next speaker is Marvin Crenshaw, followed by Uzumba, next William Hopkins, Frank Ward, Leslie Allen Davis, Juanita Wallace, Harvey Hassan, and Gwang Wooten.
Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard.
I'd like to
extend the best wishes to the Honorable Fred Blair, who served on the Dallas City Council from 1980 to 1984, and who's a strong advocate for the citizens of the city, in particular in District 8. I was talking to someone last week, and they said Mr. Blair was probably going to have surgery. The second thing I'd like to talk about is that all the praise that I heard this morning about the Trinity in District 7 along Bear Street, we might all be underwater if it had not been for the efforts of the councilwoman from District 14, which proves that something that Mr. J.B. Jackson Jr. and Ms. Elton Faye Hagen could always tell us is that one person can't do everything, but one person who is diligent persistent and consistent can make a difference. The third thing I want to talk about is what I call the Tom Leopard Crime Cartel, which presented an assault on 14-1. This year will make 20 years. The first election under 14-1 was held in 1991. So that's 20 years ago, which goes by like that. But this was what many of us experienced, even a lot of the speakers say, that under this last mayor who left us, you know, didn't even serve one term. And as one former council person stated, that he did not care nothing about the citizens of the city. He left, not served one term, already planned to run for U.S. Senate, knowing full well that he was not going to be here. It was a full assault on our rights as speakers who come down here. He violated the city charter, violated our constitutional rights in many ways, and many of you sat here and did not say a word and went right along with him. And we can't forget that. I mean, you know, you just let that man just run all over us, do all type of things. From the time that he was sworn in, when he had many of you over to Ross Perot Jr.'s home. He did all kinds of different stuff. Intimidated the city manager, intimidated Chief Brown when he was first selected as the police chief. All of those things. And now we're going to let him go to, he's talking about going to the U.S. Senate, and we have to follow him across this country and let everybody know the type of person that's talked about being elected to the U.S. Senate. And this mayor's race is going to be a very exciting race, one of the most exciting in the city of Dallas in quite some time since Laura Miller and Tom Dunning. But I'll be supporting Mike Rawlings.
Thank you, Ms. Crenshaw.
Our next speaker, Mr. Mary Zumba, New X, followed by William Hopkins, I don't think either, and Frank Ward, Mr. Ward, and followed by Leslie Allen Davis, Juanita Wallace, Harvey Hassan.
Glory to God.
Mr. Mayor, earlier you acknowledged a couple of ministers and pastors in the audience. I don't know, a lot of people may not consider me as a minister, but I live by a totally different creed. The government of God of His kingdom is the ultimate government in this entire world. My subject was, have faith in God. Wise up, rise up. Last week when I spoke about the fulfillment of a prophecy, and I spoke about you, Mr. Mayor, becoming the mayor, that you are the beginning of the end of the old leadership for the past 40 years in the city of Dallas. Old leadership made a lot of deals because of the racial injustice and the type of things that was going on in the city, not being prepared for the future, not having that vision. But one of the reasons why it's been pressed upon me to try to meet with the African-American leadership and to express and show them and share with them the vision is for this simple reason. You know, being an African-American is a very unique and privileged being. You know, there are so many things that you have inherited, things that are in our culture and in our nature and our belief. We are really faith people. And when I talked about being a living sacrifice, my living sacrifice is not to have a worldly education for what you'll call a degree. Because really what it does, it coaches you into having a certain type of attitude and a certain type of conduct so that you could be more reasonable and more tolerant of what's really happening. You know, we've been talking about developing South Dallas for 40 years. Billions, if not trillions of dollars of development has happened in the city of Dallas over the last 40 years. But yet South Dallas has not developed. It is my sincere, excuse me?
No.
Excuse me. But anyway, I watched this. You know, it seemed that what I said for years for all on deaf ears. You know, imagine this. My father, my earthly dad, still lives in the community where I grew up, 90 years old. My mom, 81 years old. My aunt, 95 years old. In the same community, same rundown. Everything gets torn down around them, but they're still there. You know, there is a reason for that. There's a purpose for that. And it's important.
Mr. Walsh, your time is up. Thank you. Madam Secretary.
Our next speaker is Leslie Allen Davis.
Leslie Allen Davis, 3035 East Ledbetter, apartment 401. Phone number 214-376-3811. Press priority 1. This is Barack Obama. This is the Yellow Alert, Mr. President. Israel is in a state of emergency because all the Muslim countries are around us in an uproar. And the way they take their pressure off their government, they all want it for independence because of these dictatorships and the Muslim Brotherhood. And, the way they take pressure out of it, they try to attack Israel because the most is Israel. Like, Egypt just let, three tankers from Iran go through the Suez Canal. That was the last month or so. Israel's priority one, priority two. Pray for Leslie Allen Davis. All your people radio land, pray for me, baby. Those people that, of Abraham, the one that believes in God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, next is Bert. You need to stop, you need to go to your legislature, congressman, and tell them you don't want people to be killing babies while they're in their women's stomach. It says birth control abortion, but it's killing a baby while it's in the stomach of a woman. And they should take birth control pills out of all circles, because they ain't supposed to be in the circle to be having babies. Number two. The one world government should be put off until the next century, because for one, a month turn out the American Constitution, which is the most best constitution ever made in the history of the world. They got to tear us down first before they go into what was the New World Order. And an example of that is free speech in the church. Not a preacher can say what he wants to in the church. That's how it starts. They chip away at America. They can't hit them with full blast. They chip away gradually, like stroking. I don't want to count to the next. This is Dwayne Caraway. No attack the babies. We got to work this out. We got to bug it down and come through and make our employees the best employees in the world. And all employees. So I'll send you a letter to Dwayne Caraway on what problem we have in the city of Dallas. All city employees. Because he's supposed to be the go-to man. Okay, employees in school. Schools. I'll leave that on. WR, radio station. Can we have that from 10 to 6 in the morning with R&B and jazz? So we are black brothers. That's our radio station, yes, too.
Okay.
Dwayne Caraway,
yes,
do what I want you to do.
Okay.
Got 35 seconds. Give it to you then. Protestants will let you now because you told me to let you know what something's going wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked to some of your constituents in the neighborhood and say you're not that good, but that's because I know you're a good man. And you can work on, do like Tom left. Go into the neighborhood and find, hey, what's this about me? We're going to get this straight now, because I'm a good man, I want to be a good mayor. But I want you to be mayor in your after your fourth term at city council, because you're doing a fantastic job.
Right.
Okay. We need a liaison here, go between people that don't know what's going on in the city council, how the government runs, and they think y'all doing them wrong when they really don't know what they're talking about.
All right, man.
We need that right away.
Now your time is up now.
Oh, we need to open the floodgates for Mexican Americans.
Listen, you said red light.
Floodgates of Mexican Americans. Come to the United States. Okay, yeah, play up.
Our next speaker, Mr. Mayor, is Juanita Wallace. Our next speaker is Juanita Wallace.
Okay.
Ms. Wallace, go ahead.
Juanita Wallace, 1409 South Lamar, Dallas, Texas. I have no permanent friends. I have no permanent enemies. But we do have permanent issues. Unfair treatment of citizens known as independent cab drivers. Head of the line, CNG, yellow cab. We must call for an immediate action. I'm outraged at Leopard and you, who are well aware of the fact that the CNG posed a public threat because of the fracking. Now, we do know that CNG compressed natural gas caps are in fact pollutants. Mr. Newman, how would you like the natural gas to be in your backyard? Well, if you don't want it in your backyard, neither do the people in South Dallas and West Dallas. The drilling method, hydraulic fracturing, produces large volumes of wastewater that naturally laced with carcinogens, including benzene and radioactive elements, including radium, and those elements used in drilling possess other pollutants. Regulators and drillers now say that it's more dangerous than before, and now that you're aware of it, we're asking that you take a look at it and do something. Research also shows that wastewater, which is sometimes hauled to sewage plants, are designed to treat it, then discharged into rivers that supply drinking water, containing radioactivity of levels higher than previously known. So we're asking you to please have someone to look into this and to make sure that we're not using this kind of pollutants in the city of Dallas. We're raging a political battle upon regulated natural gas amid a drill boom in Texas, also in Colorado and other states. Environmentalists are seeking new controls of hydraulic fracturing or fracking, which includes high-pressure injections of chemical water and sand to break down the rocks so that they can get the flow of the gas. EPA is currently studying the environmental and health effects of the fracking, and I certainly hope that Ron Natinsky is studying that also. As fracking has made it to the red carpet, and you do were aware that it was actually one of the documentaries that was at the actual Knights Academy. It's time for Dallas to take a look at this and do something about it. I want you to do something about it because the Supreme Court has ruled on it, and you'll have information regarding that also. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wallace.
Our next speaker is Harvey Hassan.
Honorable Mayor, member of the Council, my name is Harvey Hassan. I'm with the Association of Taxi Cab Operators. I passed information on 28th of February. The U.S. Supreme Court article that was rejected on the hybrid. I would like for you guys to take this. Is just informational. The other thing I want to talk about is the relationship between the cab company and drivers, cab drivers. There are 2,300 taxi drivers in the Metroplex. None of us work for cab company as employees. We are independent contractors. Whether we drive yellow, cowboy, executive of any cab company, we pay them. They don't pay us. We pay them. We don't work for them. When they come to you, they lobby you. They come in, send in all kind of experts here. They are trying to extort money from the cab drivers. In the future, we would like for you to include the Association of Taxi Cab Operators in the discussion before we pass any ordinance. Because whatever that they come up with is always they try to extort money from the cab drivers. The mood of the cab drivers. There is a lot of despair, depression, and sadness on the CNG issue. We have met with many of you. We appreciate those of you who met with us. Some of you, you told us that because of the lawsuit, we cannot meet with you. But you know what? We're not suing the city of Dallas. We were just trying to start to see ahead of line. We're not asking for money. We're not demanding anything from the city. We just want to work with the city. So whenever the ordinance that was passed is benefiting the large cab companies, putting a smaller company out of business, causing the cab drivers a lot of money. That's what we were challenging. So we're not suing the city. So if you meet with us, you're not bypassing any law. So right now the cab drivers' feeling is the same situation in Libya, the opposition. The cab drivers are the opposition. The large cab companies are Gaddafi. That's the situation we're feeling. Please, we will need for you to rescind these ordinance as soon as possible. And for those who have not met with us, we will call your offices. We request that you meet with us so we can explain for you why we oppose these things. Thank you very much.
Thank you so very much. Madam Secretary.
Mr. Mayor, our final speaker is Gwang Wooten. Good afternoon. My name is Gwang Wooten. I live in 1000 Grierson.
my topic today was Rosen Home Community and that manager over there. Now, I don't know where y'all got her from, but she said she come here from Houston. And when I was a child, I never lived in public housing, but I had relatives in there, so I was in there all the time. Most people knew me, thought I lived in the project. But I liked to have fun in the project because there was a bunch of children in there, and I lived with my grandmother where there were no children around me, so I was in the project all the time. Now, there's a manager over there that says teenagers can't come in those projects because they go to jail for trespassing. She arrested some last week, had them taken down to that jail house down there where the police is. And we have black representation from the president, the White House, chief of police, fire department, DA, county commission, state representative, city council, the mayor of the city of Dallas happens to be African American. Now, when a teenager goes to school with someone who lives in public housing and they can't get public housing, they're put in jail for criminal trespassing in public housing. Now, maybe it's not public housing. What kind of housing is it? What kind of country do we have when we want to make criminals of children who are visiting other children in a poverty-stricken community? She says she's from Houston. And she says she's going to switch this community and do it like they did it in Houston. Well, I'm not from Houston. I'm really sick of all these people coming to Dallas with all these crazy thoughts they got, turning this city into a concentration camp for black people being searched on the middle of the street, children putting their hands on hot cars while the police are searching them and stuff. I don't want to live under an apartheid government. I don't live inside in the southern sector. Don't want to be over there. I live on this side, and I want to stay over here. But I do not want to be discriminated against because I'm over here. This is District 14 I'm talking about. And I think something needs to be done with. If you go to school with somebody, you standing up talking to somebody in the same community, I don't think you should go to jail for trespassing. Now, they're going a little bit too far with all this stuff, and I don't know where y'all get all this going to jail, putting children in jail, no kind of way. They children. And they supposed to communicate with each other. Are you telling me that because you live in public housing, you can't talk to a child that don't live in public housing? That's where children are. It's a community full of children. Are they on a concentration camp? They say this woman has children, she's got children, and can't visit her because there's too many of them. Are you going to tell me how many children my children can come to my house? I don't like this. And we have minority representation, but y'all ain't representing poor people. And that's why Martin died. He was murdered in Memphis, Tennessee, supporting poor people. He was not supporting people with VAs and fraternities and all this other stuff y'all doing. He was representing poor people. And now y'all riding Martin's back as if nobody did anything for me. I read my book. And it's time to stop this. I want something done about it, Carol Wayne. You don't want no telephone call from me. I'm trying not to call you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is that... Council, before we go, we have one item we have to read into the records and consider and vote on.
We voted on it, Mr. Mayor, but it was the item appointing the ad hoc committee, and we did not announce the ad hoc committee to canvass the votes of the May 14th election.
And let me announce those committee members.
Okay.
Committee member, Council Member Linda Coop is chair, Council Member Bonseal Hill, Council Member Jerry Allen, Council Member Pauline Medrano, and Councilmember Sheffy Cadane as an alternate.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. All right. It is 4:23. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
All right. That's what I'm...